Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Yesterday was pretty crazy. We got swatted while we were live on the air. We do have some updates for you. And so in lieu of the standard, you know, several minute intro, I'm just going to say welcome to the show. We're going to do an update on the swatting. We've got a bunch of stories for you. I've spoken with some individuals, security. We think we may know what happened. We'll get into all that. Joining us today is Chris Carr, executive editor at timcast.com.
Thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Our guest scheduled today was Michael Graves, formerly of the Misfits. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. Weather was really bad. The roads are all, you know, pretty bad. It's unfortunate because it's not that much snow, but we're in the middle of nowhere. So we got Luke.
Yep, lots of crazy news to get into. First of all, shouts out to everyone in the cast, Beanie Castle, who was doing the workout boot camp training. Shouts out especially to Linda. Yeah. She's punching the bag so aggressively. I thought it was going to fly across the room. I was like, just imagine it's the mean commenters. And man, she let it have it. Anyway, my Church of Fear shirt just came in, and it's nicely showing a great Karen with a mask, face shield, and gloves, praying, of course, to the corporate overlords on the boob tube. You could get yours exclusively on thebestpoliticalshirts.com, and because you do, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
What's up, everybody? Ian Crossland over here. Glad to be here. Check me out at iancrossland.net if you ever wanna, and I'll see you in a bit.
I am also here. I'm wearing my Step on Snake and Find Out t-shirt. You can't see the whole thing, which makes me really sad, but I am wearing it. I'm very excited about it. It's gorgeous. Love it. Get yours.
Don't forget, go to timcast.com, become a member, and help support our work. No members-only segments today. We do those Monday through Thursday, but we do have a Green Room episode up, and I believe it's with Marjorie Taylor Greene, so behind the scenes when she shows up, and it shows all of us getting ready for the show. And don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends if you really do want to support our work. Let's just do this. Look, we've got news about SCOTUS. We've got news about this new study on the vaccines. We got a clip up from Joe Rogan. But I hate to do this, and we didn't initially want to. That's why we titled this video just like a normal news day. But there's a lot of questions around the swatting, and we do have some developments. I've made some phone calls. So for those that aren't familiar, last night during the show, we got swatted, and that means someone called the police and claimed there was an active shooter on the property and that people had been hurt. During the show, Luke was talking, and you can see an officer walk past the camera and then walk out, and it seems to go very quickly. I walk out of the room. And then after we realized what happened, you know, Lydia's like, look, we got swatted. I get up and I go talk to the cop. There were two out there, and we come back. A lot of people didn't get the full picture from that. They believed there was just a couple cops who walked in, waved, and left. There were eight cops that I ended up I think I saw five downstairs when I went back out and said what was going on and asked them politely to leave. And then there were also state troopers, and there was another jurisdiction, I think a sheriff's department. They were all asked politely to leave. I said, I don't want you here without a warrant. So as to what happened, we don't know who did it. We do have a couple different firms, legal firms, filing everything. And we're getting into high gear to figure out what we can preserve. Body camera footage, the 911 call. People have already released the police radio calls, a couple of them. And what I can say is there were a few theories as to what happened and why we got swatted. Now, I'm sure whoever did it is probably listening. I don't know what their intention was. Some people were saying it's the internet, it's trolls, it's what happens, perhaps. Some people were thinking that it's related to some trolling that's been going on. But one of the theories that we had to discuss was whether or not it was related to Marjorie Taylor Greene's appearance on the show. I did mention it the other day. And after the show, I didn't want to, you know, contact her team and drag her into something. She was here the day before on the 5th, not the day we got swatted. But, you know, Luke mentioned it's probably a good idea for security reasons just to let people know, like, hey, this happened. And I can't speak for Marjorie Taylor Greene and what her opinion of this is. But what was conveyed to me is that she's been receiving a large amount of death threats as of the 6th. And that leads me to believe that what happened to us was directly related to us hosting her. I don't know for sure. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm not saying I believe 100%. I'm saying it seems probable. And the reason is we filmed these live episodes. We start at 8 p.m. We end at 10. At 10, when we end the live stream, is when YouTube says it's published and it sends out notifications slowly to a bunch of people. That means for a lot of people, you'll wake up in the morning and get a notification, you know, Timcast IRL with guest Marjorie Taylor Greene. On this day, the morning of January 6th, when people are getting this notification that we hosted her, that's the day she was getting slammed with death threats. So I don't think it's a coincidence then that on that same day that she's getting death threats, we also get swatted. And it may be because some people, either the individual mistakenly thought we were currently hosting her on the show, or it was just they saw the show, the notification, or just someone mentioned it and they said, screw these people, and they end up swatting us. Ultimately, we have no idea why it happened, but I think that seems to be the most likely. I don't know. I don't know for sure. And I don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to make it seem like we're saying it's definitive. We just don't know, but that seems likely. And I don't know if you guys wanted to add anything. And
well, you know, of course, this is a very serious matter. We were very lucky that one of our employees was outside and prevented the swatting, prevented the raid. I don't know if the officer was waiting for backup or just waiting to assess
the
situation.
Waiting for backup.
But if you but you know, if the officer was waiting to assess the situation, that was the right move to make there, and it prevented a lot of people from getting hurt. So, shouts out to all the employees that were out there that are professional, that didn't panic, didn't freak out, and also started filming the police right away when they entered here. There's, you know, a lot of questions surrounding that as well, but it was three different jurisdictions, a large number of police officers. We couldn't even count all the police cars that were here. So this was a major incident, and luckily it didn't get escalated. And we got a number of things at play, and we're going to do our best to find out what's going on here.
There were also some of our staff reported police vehicles driving down the road back and forth. Yeah. So aside from the eight or however many vehicles were in the driveway, and then there were, I believe, at least eight officers walking around, maybe more. There were actually other officers driving around, because this is what people need to realize about this. So I can't give too much information away because there's an ongoing investigation. But this is, we're very close to Washington, D.C. The people who live in this area, many of them are politicos, political lawyers, people who work in they work in politics. They work in D.C., right? So we're about an hour west of Washington, D.C. This area of the tri-state, which is Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia, and the Harper's Ferry area, has a ton of D.C. commuters. And these people are fairly, you know, Democrat types. They're heavily involved in politics. They're well-connected. Many of them are high-powered lawyers. And the police went to their homes. Oh. So people around here are extremely pissed off. What you need to understand is we are not in a densely populated area. So when someone says, you know, my address is 100 Fake Street, the cops are like, well, in the span of 2 miles, there's, you know, five houses. And if we get one number wrong, then it could be the house a few miles down. So they got to send out a ton of cops. They had to go to a bunch of different houses that are far away from here and do wellness checks in all these places. So it wasn't just what we were experiencing. We got the brunt of it. We get all the cops. But my understanding is that the cops actually drove down very far to other homes and were knocking on doors. And people are let's just say, mildly perturbed.
No kidding.
At being disturbed over what had happened and being asked questions and the cops saying, you know, we're getting a report of a murder-suicide and we need to check your home. I don't know to what extent they went and checked other houses, but I can say that people are – my understanding is that people are angry. And what I was told is that – I was told, we can't tell you how, but we absolutely will find out who did this. So this is not the area that you want to be screwing with. You know, some people out here are like extremely wealthy, hot, well-connected, you know, political individuals. And this was, it was bigger than just us, you know, just this house.
You know what bothers me about this? One of the things that bothers me about this is the exigent circumstance clause, like the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. You have the right to protection from unreasonable search and seizure. But apparently, if there's an exigent circumstance, if there's some sort of emergency, then it's reasonable to search for the cops to bust into your house and search.
You were mentioning that Rakeda Law said there was no exigent
circumstances. This is what I learned from Mercado Law last night, actually. This is stuff that's coming from his show last night, which I would suggest going and watching. Yeah, if they come here and they think, well, maybe this is a swatting, then they basically there are no exigent circumstances at that point. So if
and
if
they said that
if there's evidence that they were on the police scanner saying we think this might be a swatting, but they came in anyway.
No, he said it's probably a swatting,
but they came in
we're pretty sure this is a swatting.
If they're pretty sure it's a swatting, but they came in anyway, they may have overstepped this exigent thing. I'm still on their side here. I want to work with these guys and the local cops and everything, but. This exigent thing is very, I mean, you want to talk about totalitarian abilities to search your house. Mm-hmm. And if you have a pile of cash on your table and they take it because of civil asset forfeiture, I don't know if they're allowed to do something.
I got
like
an
that,
advertisement on Instagram today for gag coasters that have lines of white powder on them.
Oh,
it was on Instagram and it said gag gifts. And, I was just thinking when I'm scrolling on Instagram, I'm like, what if we had something like
just
that?
Imagine.
The issue is, there's a reason why I don't want strangers in my home. I don't care if they're a police officer or not a police officer. When we vet people when they come here, we know who they are. Now, sometimes cops are criminals. Not all cops are good people. Cops are just people. So I understand they're coming here because they got a report and they want to help, make sure everyone's okay and everything like that. But once they figure that out, when four people actually in the driveway told them,
oh yeah,
everything's fine and you're wrong and you can't come in. And they said, yeah, we're pretty sure it's a swatting. Now we're going to come in anyway. I'm like, dude, that pisses me off a lot.
It is so crazy to me that you need to say something like, I really don't want strangers in my house. I feel like you shouldn't have to say that. And I was going to ask, I don't know if anybody knows, and I didn't have a chance to look it up, but do we know if swatting is a felony in the state of Maryland?
You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
I don't know about this. I'm pretty sure it's multiple felonies.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's not only like attempted murder.
Yeah, of course.
It depends on the it would be the DA interpretation of whether it's attempted murder. I certainly think it is. People have often said it is. But filing a false police report,
mm-hmm.
you know, very serious. And multiple times. So that's got to be. I mean, look, you got Jussie Smollett. He got 6 counts of felony disorderly conduct for the false police reports.
Right.
In this instance, the severity of it, sending police officers into, you're putting the cops in fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
You're instilling the fear of death in them. I mean, these guys were probably adrenaline going a million miles an hour. You can hear like in the police radio that people were posting online when they're like, you know, we got this call or that call, you hear the sirens on one of the guys' radio. Like they're rushing here.
Yeah.
So these guys are probably like, here we go, man. This is something bad. And their heart's going a million miles an hour. They think they could be walking into a deadly scenario. So I wouldn't say it's attempted murder on that, on their regard, but you're certainly, you know, putting them in extreme distress.
Well, it's such a waste of resources too, if nothing else. Even if you're not like attempting to murder someone via SWAT and saying that, I mean, treating a SWAT visit as attempted murder, that's wild to me. Like you have to know that they're overusing force in that case, right?
I think we need to call it exactly as it is. They tried to kill Ian.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It was Ian, conspiracy.
Ian was about to run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have our staff walking outside at that exact moment and the cops came in with their guns ready, going through the house, and Ian runs down the hall to go to the bathroom, because what you got to understand is during the show when we're live, we have a bathroom in studio, which is soundproof, but Ian's not going to be able to go around to the table, so he's got another door. He'd have to run to the bathroom as quickly as possible.
Yeah, he dashes, yeah.
Because we're live.
He runs all the time.
You don't want to just leave the show for 10 minutes. You're going to run in, run out. If the cops had walked up the stairs and it's dark, And Ian's running down the hallway of this building to go to the bathroom, and they see him
flying through, and they're like, "What is this thing?"
Stop. And they're like, "Some dude's running at us
it's
in this tight hallway."
Yeah, that's not even funny, man. I almost did, like, for 10 minutes before they arrived. I was like, "I got to hit the bathroom," but I was like, "Well, this conversation's good," so I stayed and I was listening for a while, and then they came in. I could have been easily out there running around.
They were here at 8:20.
Stop!
They were here at 8:27. So the call was made at 8:20. The cops arrived at 8:27. That was when Andy, our CTO, walks out into the parking lot, and he turns left. He's heading towards our barn, our outdoor skate park area, and then he stops and decides, I'm going to go see who is this person in the driveway, and that's when they realize it was the police. So this is around 8:29 or so. I think it was only about 2 or 3 minutes later the backup arrives. At that point, the cops would have started getting ready and moving quickly to come inside. Maybe they would have gotten on the megaphone or whatever and yelled. I don't know exactly what their protocol would have been. But that was, I would say, around 10 minutes before everything went down. It's very possible that, I'll just say, look, nothing bad happened because we're this is an office, it's a company. So people were doing their jobs and were just like, what's going on? But this could have been way, way, way worse.
In some states, in some jurisdictions, the protocol literally is bust down the door with your firearms up in the air, ready to take down any kind of threat. And there have been a lot of people that died because of swatting. Let's just be real and honest with ourselves. This is, some people say, a prank, but, you know, this is something that, of course, is serious as well and has led to people dying.
It's terrorism.
Yeah.
Because I'll say, there is people, the craziest thing to me is the people who want to try and, like, look, we had Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show. The same day we're getting swatted, she's getting inundated with death threats. It was January 6th, right? So it seems obvious that's a day that people are going to be screaming at her and coming after her. And she came out with Matt Gaetz. They issued a statement. And so it was the day after we hosted her. This is when we get a good portion of the views. The next day, the podcast throughout the day gets a ton of traffic, and it was with her. Mm-hmm. And then at 8:20, 20 minutes after the show starts, we get swatted.
I think it's terrorism. Mm-hmm. Regardless, even if it's not political, it's if you send some cops to go scare someone, that's an act of terror. I mean, I don't want to overuse the word, but it's domestic terrorism.
They're trying to get cops to kill you.
Yeah.
They didn't. They didn't call the cops and say.
Well, they're trying to get you to kill the cop. It's insane.
They're trying to
get someone hurt.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this individual, what they called several different departments and a suicide hotline.
Yeah. Two different.
They wanted them to
counties,
come in here, guns drawn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like as fast as they could.
Yep.
Wow. Terrorism.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. I don't call for terrorism much, but that is a form of terrorism to do that to someone.
You don't call for it much?
I don't call for it ever.
I don't like calling the word out because it's so overused in the last 20 years. This and that can be like January 6th, the people looking at the wall. Meemaw, that word's been in my head for like 24 hours. All the meemaws or mamas or whatever.
Meemaw.
Looking around at the
walls.
Just
like the bumbling, you know.
They weren't terrorists, but they're getting held for suspected terrorism. Like I think that's a gross misjustice.
Mm. There's a lot of issues with the exigent circumstances and entering the property. So what really pisses me off is that someone can lie and the police can completely disregard four people outside saying nothing is going on and you're wrong when it completely contradicts what they were told on the phone. They were told on the phone one guy had harmed two people and was going to harm himself, and they encounter four people, three guys and one woman, all saying this is a place of business, we're live right now in studio, it's not happening. And they said, yeah, pretty sure. Now we're going to come in anyway. Mm-hmm. Nah, that's complete BS. I reject that 100%.
Yeah. But this is so clearly a form of intimidation. I think that's what Ian's getting at when he talks about terrorism. It doesn't even have to be political. This is so obviously intimidation. And whatever motivated this, it's obviously just to try maybe to get us to shut up, to distract us, to get our minds off some other topic. Maybe it was because of a Marjorie Taylor Greene interview. The timing was crazy with that one. But
well, Luke didn't get distracted or perturbed at
all.
I mean,
didn't.
He was, he was focused. Laser focused,
yeah.
Exactly.
I was like, I love that. Dead air? We can't have dead air.
Yeah.
We were just talking on one of the members podcasts how, like, you know, the guest will be talking and then they'll stop talking and then I'll just look at Luke and look at me. He's like, oh, so anyway. Like,
ready to go.
I don't know how I'm able to do it, but like I'm just able to continue the train of thought as I'm like looking at everything that's happening and it's just kind of continuing the conversation. It's weird,
right.
But I'm going to start looking at Linda next
pitch
now.
It to me. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've got a couple different very excellent legal firms already filing paperwork like crazy. Mm-hmm. We're going for all the records, the police reports. We want to know what they said before, what they said after. We want the 911 call. We want to hear the person's voice. And then we're going to, you know, as I'm told, they can't tell me how, but they're going to find out who did this.
That's kind of scary.
I know. Yeah. Well, what you got to listen. Let's get serious for a second. We had a sitting member of Congress on this show, and the next day someone swatted us, which is
FBI's on it.
I mean, I'd have to imagine it's.
I'd say
it's,
so, yeah.
And if the person made the phone call from out of the jurisdiction, if it includes literally 30 seconds from the state border.
Yeah.
So this could be a federal issue already.
This is definitely a DMV area. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, we're not going to tell you how, but.
Interesting.
We will find out. I'm like, oh man.
Thanks, Empire.
Yeah,
I'll pay my taxes, Empire.
As bad as everything is, I'm not completely. I don't necessarily believe it's true. I certainly believe there's powerful interests. Look, their attitude is we can fight with each other, but don't you screw with us. Look at what happened on January 6th. All of these members of Congress are like, we don't care if you're out in the streets hitting each other, but when you come to our house.
Oh, it's
so
on.
I don't know. Maybe they don't like MTG, but I'd also imagine they might be saying, like, we may not like her, but the last thing I want is to go on a show to promote my campaign and have this happen. So they're going to be like, find this person.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll use her to try to kind of send a message. I'd be fascinated to see what happens. And I'm curious if the FBI is on it. And I do want to know what these law firms have to say about the exigent thing. I want to know if there's like a case there to be made.
Well,
that's a
serious
issue.
I don't know what we're going to do.
I mean,
like,
I know, but
nothing happened and they left. So there's no standing for anything. Like, what are our damages?
But like, they
saw my home.
I think
we got to remodel the whole thing now.
How dare they?
Because like, a government can redefine what a word means. And if they want to redefine exigent to mean like any thought that maybe someone's sneezing inside their house might be.
They're actually pretty specific. There's like three exigent circumstances.
Imagine,
they're very specific.
Yeah.
And the one that we fell under was imminent harm was about to occur. But they clearly didn't believe that was the case.
Right.
Which
That's
is why I'm
to
like,
be determined. Mm-hmm. It's going to be. Other ones are like red pursuit, hot pursuit laws. Like if you think the guy's going to get away, like if they're in a car, that's like considered a hot pursuit thing. So because they might be gone in a second if you don't act.
I think we're headed down a really, I think 2022, I mean, I'm saying this a week or two ago. I'm like, you guys, I hope you're ready for how insane it's going to be. You don't get it. Look, my segment I did at 4 p.m. was about how they're trying to disqualify Donald Trump so he can't run for office. They've been trying to disqualify him. And they're also, Mark Elias, a Democrat lawyer, says that he believes mid this year, you're going to see disqualifications of Republicans running for office. They know they can't win against the Trump populists, the America First nationalists. So what they're going to do is they're going to use January 6th to claim Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was violated and then make it so that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump, and other populist Republicans will not have their names appear on the ballots and will be ineligible to hold office. This is the direction things are going. That is insane. We're going to see smear campaigns. The harassment is going to be intense. It's January 7th today, and we're here talking about the aftermath of us getting swatted.
Seriously.
2022 is going to be nuts. 2018 was the Democrats being like, okay, we're gonna take back the House. And they did, and we all complained, and we're like, wow, I guess we didn't see that coming. Then 2019, you get the presidential primaries. 2020 was really nuts. 2020 was insane. The rioting, the 100-day sieges on cities.
It was probably the craziest year of my life.
Yes, it was.
Easily. Yeah, yeah.
And then 2021, everyone's kind of burned out. There's no big elections. Now we're getting into 2022, which is Republicans have a real chance to take back the House and the Senate and displace the establishment's authority because Trump controls the Republican Party. You got people like Ted Cruz that would love to pull it back to establishment. They can't do it as much as they try and pretend they're not. This is where they're going to pull out all the stops. If you think that the shadow campaign to fortify the election was bad, take a look at them overtly tweeting, we will straight up just say your politician can't be in office. They will literally just decree that.
So this
that's beyond elections.
Yeah.
This is civil war.
But this is a sign of panic on their end. I mean, this is a tell, right? So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. It's a good question. It may be that they're so desperate, they know they're going to lose, that the only thing they have left in their arsenal is overt cheating. And what I mean by that is using lawfare, political lawfare, to disqualify your opponent instead of actually running against them.
Right.
That may be a positive, a good news that if people go out and vote in the primaries and primary these neocon and establishment Republicans, get in some America First populists who are just there for the working class, want to bring factories back and secure our borders, they'll probably win. And that, I think, is why they're going so hard against anybody who opposes the machine, because the traditional methods aren't working for them anymore. People are breaking through the lies. The narrative isn't working.
Well, there's a lot of things at play here, specifically with COVID and especially with what happened in South Africa, with many medical professionals saying that this is going to happen here in the United States and that soon we might be experiencing the end of this pandemic. And historically speaking, Newsweek actually talked about this yesterday. They talked about how at the end of pandemics throughout human history, usually this leads to a lot of civil unrest.
Right.
So I think this is also a big possibility. It routinely does happen. It historically does happen. But also financially, there's a lot of things happening that people are still not aware of. Usually economic trends take a long time to kind of surface and really affect people. They're not imminent. They usually take months to fully affect individuals. So I think we're going to be feeling the full ramification of hyper money printing. So there's a lot of things at play here that create a lot of instability. And with all of this instability, I think it's very fair to say that we're in for a rough ride, not just politically, not just with this larger divide and conquer agenda, the left versus the right, but there's a lot of other circumstances. I would say exigent circumstances that are leading to, of course, the probability of some major troubles ahead.
I'm going to get Luca Dictionary for his birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, like, whenever he has the word, we'll pull it up and be like, here you go.
No, he can write his own dictionary.
Actually, that's actually
I could make my own.
I want his own. Book.
I like that idea.
Yeah,
thank
like
you.
That. Yeah,
thank you.
That's actually a really good idea. No, for real, though. To make, like, a t-shirt with all of the words you've used.
Yeah, like Luke's words.
Exacerbate.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, one of those, like, where you got to circle the word in the big maze of letters.
Yes.
Find all of Luke's words.
Or, like, what's the puzzle thing where you have to circle, like,
a word search?
Yeah, word search.
Word search. Yeah. Make a word search.
How did you guys not know what a word search is?
They didn't know the word for word search.
Dude, I think
ironic.
In different ways than your average man. Hey, I've been looking at the crypto market. It is getting smeared. What you were saying was making me think about it, and I don't know how related it is, but it looks like there's a coordinated move to smear the market, drive the prices down.
No. It's Kazakhstan,
huge buy-up. What's happening?
So the civil unrest in Kazakhstan shut down a major mining operation.
Interesting.
So this caused huge price fluctuations and things like that.
And they might be using that as an excuse to drive the market.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to ArcSeedKits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's ARKSeedKits.com. Promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. ArcSeedKits.com.
Well, no, I think people are going to exploit it, seeing it coming. But I think this is just all that, you know, Kazakhstan, crypto, what's happening, I mean, us getting swatted, what's happening with trying to disqualify Trump. Yo, the global system, whatever it is falling apart. So it's funny that you get someone like Alex Jones, who mentions the globalists and their plan and all that stuff. And I'm like looking around the world and I'm like, maybe that plan ain't working. You know, I don't agree with Alex on a good majority of what he believes about the globalists, but it is a fact that there are global elites that work, that coordinate. Obviously, they do trade negotiations and deals and everything, and they have an idea of how the system is supposed to be working, but it's not.
But this is what I kind of want to add here, because this is order out of chaos. They create the chaos, and out of the chaos, out of the panic, out of the suffering, out of the fighting, they create a new system that people naturally go to because they already have it in play, and it's going to be their solution to the problems that they caused. That's how I personally see it. That's my opinion, especially understanding how they previously worked before, especially seeing their writings, especially seeing just how brazen they are with it, especially with the World Economic Forum and the documents that they release bragging about what they want to do. And if you think of a way of how are you going to usurp people's sovereignty, how are you going to take away their financial mobility, how are you going to subjugate them in almost every aspect of their existence, well, you make their existence right now unbearable, so they come into your system begging to be under, of course, your new world order that they're conveniently building that works in their favor even more. So that's how I see it from my perspective.
You know what's really crazy is this conspiracy theory that Donald Trump wasn't supposed to win. And because he did, it forced the establishment to speed up their timeline.
Yes.
So basically, this is the conspiracy. I'm not saying it's true. Okay. I'm just saying this is, you know, the conspiracy chatter that Hillary was supposed to win in 2016. And they were supposed to slowly be pushing out a lot of these draconian policies over 4 years. Instead, Trump wins, they panic and don't know how to stop him because Trump was changing things back in favor of America, which was rewinding the clock on the establishment plan. So then finally in the last year, they had to do everything they wanted to do in four years, but in like six, 7 months. So everything got crammed and everybody could see it happening because you could only move people so far so fast. So then the idea is that now they're trying to get back on track with it. But too many people were shocked by this disruption in the system. If Hillary had won, and then they started doing, like, look, in 2018 is when they changed the definition of anti-vaxxer to someone who opposes government mandates.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying these are what people are asserting as to why they believe the establishment had a plan for draconian lockdowns.
They very clearly wanted to sign the Trans-Pacific Partnership and get cheap oil out of Malaysia.
In Australia, if you give aid and comfort to people who don't like the mandates, you're deemed an anti-vaxxer, according to the government officials in Australia that have decreed it. That's an absolute lunacy. They're changing definitions by the day. They're confusing people as much as they can, and they're trying to create a panic. They're trying to create a fight. They're trying to create something that, of course, will make us not realize what's really happening to the general public, because that's the only way they could get away with their bigger power grabs that they're conducting right now.
Yeah, the Trans-Pacific Partnership had a clause called the Investor State Dispute Settlement Clause that gave corporations, like Malaysian corporations, the power to sue the American government if the American people were discriminating, in quotes, against them by not buying their oil. So if we chose opt out of Exxon's Malaysian oil production, they're going to sue us. They're going to sue the citizens. And Trump buried that. He said, no, I'm not signing it. Trash it. But Hillary was about to sign it.
Set back a lot of the plans for – it's not about this Illuminati. It's not about the cabal. It's about one guy who works for an oil company who's sitting there going, they're going to do this TPP thing. This is great news for us. Tell the investors. Then Trump gets in and they're like, God, you know what, man? He just screwed us over.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you don't need grand conspiracies for these things to happen. You need a small handful of ultra wealthy elites, birds of a feather flock together. They're not colluding or coordinating in some grand conspiracy. They have similar interests because they're leaders of industry and free trade agreements benefit their companies. We can send more factories overseas. When Trump did that, he pissed them off at the same time. All of a sudden, they're donating money to super PACs against Trump. It looks coordinated, but it's actually called a standalone complex. Now, conspiracies exist, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there could be a guy at an oil company, and he calls up his other buddy at an oil company, and he's like, hey, we're getting screwed over here. You know, let's lobby against this, right? So things like that could absolutely happen. But you gotta admit, when Trump got in smashing the TPP, that was like kicking the balls of all these big international corporations.
Well, some people are arguing that Obama wasn't going to sign it anyway. That's the counter-argument to, of course, that claim. I see it a little bit differently, but I understand exactly where you're coming from because and we don't even have to argue about this because whether your case is true or my case is true, whether it's people looking out for their interests or people colluding together and working together, it doesn't matter. The important fact to all agree on here is that they're doing it. And because they're doing it, this is screwing the average American over. It's giving them less freedom. It's giving them less economic opportunities. It's giving them less prosperity and sovereignty. And that's a serious issue that is getting completely out of hand, especially in our current way of life that is being threatened by a lot of these globalists that are taking advantage of this tragedy for their own personal benefit. So I don't even want to argue. I see a little bit differently, but they're doing it, and we need to realize that before it's too late.
The end result, can't go into a building without your app. Mm. You've got to scan it. It tracks every place you go. You use it for everything. It's going to be for your, you know, buying stuff. I've already got on my phone the near field communications, you know, wallet. You just tap your phone to the thing.
That's crazy.
Now they're doing the vax passports everywhere. Cook County, the second largest county in the United States, has a vaccine mandate. This is not one city. This is like dozens of cities. A big city like Chicago and then all of these smaller suburbs are all under this mandate. A few of these suburbs have said, screw you, we will not enforce this. And some of them are just ignoring it outright. But this is, I couldn't believe it when I heard that Cook County, this is the county that surrounds Chicago and the Chicagoland area. That's crazy to me. So your future is going to be, you don't got your phone on you or your battery died, can't come in. Sorry. You're not being tracked with your tracking device. Sorry. You haven't given us all of your data so we know where and when you poop? Too bad.
That sounds discriminatory against people that don't have electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
then you'll get the left argument. They'll be like, the left will come out and say,
Obama phones.
Yeah. No, they'll say it's not discriminatory. It's just that we have to give everyone free phones. That's what they'll end up saying.
Let's preload some software on there and track.
Yep.
But this is inevitable. There's no way really to avoid it at this point.
No. I mean,
you don't think so?
You brought it up earlier. I think they're desperate. Look, I don't know if there was a grand plan for any of this. Like that, I was just saying, like people believe there was a grand plan for this. It's certainly true that they are working towards this now, but I think it's less this like overarching conspiracy among a global elite group like Alex Jones might say, and more so some Democrats went to China, saw how their totalitarian communist party system works and want that for themselves. It's clearly not an all-encompassing conspiracy because you have people like Ron DeSantis, you have people like Donald Trump. People like Donald Trump clearly disagrees with a lot of his own supporters. They even boo him sometimes, but he's certainly not in line with other establishment elites. I think you have a lot of wealthy individuals that lean Democratic that want a Chinese Communist Party style system in here. And they're working towards it. Mm-hmm. And then you have other billionaires. You have the Koch brothers that not necessarily involved in that, but maybe a little bit in some ways. Then you have the Mercers who oppose it. So it's not like all of the ultra elites are all in line together. It's just very powerful people with aligned interests will align their interests, not through a conspiracy necessarily, but just by doing similar things. And there's very few of them.
Davos is a conspiracy headquarters. Well, That's where they get together.
People coming together and colluding for their own personal benefit, I think it's the definition of a conspiracy.
What about
criminal act?
What about?
Well, when you talk about
collude,
when you talk about what they've been doing, I don't know how else you could see it, but not, you know, criminal, to be honest, from my perspective.
I'll put it this way. Typically the idea that makes people believe it's impossible is like there's 10 cabal members and they have a secret meeting where they come to the table and they say, how can we control the world? And they're like, muhaha, and they write down in their secret book and they
turn up my shadow.
Typically when...
And then there's like occult ceremonies and mock child sacrifices and a whole bunch of other stuff. But go on.
No, but my point is often these meetings would seem banal, right? You'd see a guy in a suit walk up to another guy and be like, I haven't seen you in a few months. So look, we're going to be doing a big export from California to China, but we need this TPP, man. And they're going to be like, don't worry, we'll take care of it for you. We're going to put a bunch of money into this super PAC. And so if a regular person saw the meeting, they'd be like, what's wrong with that? It's just a business meeting among, you know, people running companies. But when they have, look, I'll tell you, I'll put it this way. If I were to tell you that a large group of ultra wealthy billionaire elites and princes and kings and politicians were meeting to discuss how they were going to control oil around the world, would you call that a conspiracy? In fact, they have these meetings all the time. They are just like oil gas expo in Libya, and then all of the big companies show up and they walk in and get their name badge and they walk around shaking hands. Oh, Jim, yeah, with Exxon. Nice to meet you. And they sign up the forms like, well, if a regular person saw these things, they would not think it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. When I was in Brazil, I went to a weapons expo. There were generals, there were, you know, high ranking military officials, pilots, there were politicians. I watched one guy walk around with a bunch of bodyguards, like, you know, in suits, and they're armed. It's not a conspiracy. It's a convention. But all of these government elites are there colluding on the best weapons for suppressing dissent. Now, if I told you princes, kings, world leaders, and billionaires were meeting to discuss the production of weapons to suppress dissent around the world, people would be like, that's a crazy conspiracy. It was a convention. It was called the Latin American Aerospace Defense Convention or something. Like, I went there and walked around, and I saw all of these people there having meetings, having lunch, cracking open champagne. That's the conspiracy that's happening in plain sight. But regular people, when they hear this, they think it's impossible because they imagine it like a creepy cabal underground going, mwahaha, instead of business.
Well, to be fair, there is an aspect of it. And for the average person hearing it, they're kind of like, wait, what's going on here? And for some people, it scares them away. For some people, it's like, okay, wait, let's really look into this. And it kind of awakens them. So there's different strategies out there. But when you look into stuff like the Bohemian Grove and spirit cooking and literally very powerful people taking blood and writing messages on the walls with human excrement and other feces and other horrible things to talk with interdimensional species. That's a bunch of weird stuff that has been documented, has been happening going along with a lot of powerful people. So there is an element of that, but it loses some people, and some people are like, wait, that's too crazy. I can't believe that. And it shatters their worldview, and automatically they kind of shut off and they put up their blinders.
Right.
Some people, though, are like, wait, probably with the way my life's been going, with the way I've been screwed over with taxes, with the way I've been screwed over by my boss and having this horrible office job and been grinding through this entire machine, probably. But so there's two perspectives, and I think both are relevant.
I think when it comes to discussing powerful interests, global elites, bankers, military and stuff, when you get into the weird occult stuff that a lot of them do, that's when you'll lose regular people.
Mm-hmm,
because
yes.
I don't think it's, look, if you come to me and you're like, did you know that these, you know, powerful elites meet in a place called Bohemian Grove or whatever? I'd be like, bro, I have no idea what that has to do with my life and why I can't get a good job that pays me well. But if you go and say, did you know the government printed something like 40% of all U.S. dollars in the past year, which has devalued your purchasing power? I'll put it this way. Because of what the Fed has done and what the politicians have done, all the money in your bank account was cut in half.
Huh.
And people are going to be like, what? Why? How? What? That speaks to people. And then you can start getting into, here's why they do it. Here's what they've been doing. And here's a book about a place called Jekyll Island.
Mm. And then sometimes people like Ghislaine come across that are
right.
So reprehensible that people care about their weirdness.
How amazing that they were like, we're going to charge her with trafficking, convict her of trafficking to no one.
That's it. Yeah.
She was convicted of trafficking children to no one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was running an illegal business with a lot of customers. The customers who participated in this illegal business, who paid for her to be a part of this illegal business, business possible.
No. Look, that must be wrong. If there were people who were engaged in this business with her and paying her to do it, certainly they would have been criminally charged and prosecuted.
Right.
And considering they haven't been, she must have just been standing there offering up trafficking people, and then they arrested her for it. There certainly must have been no real customers to what her and Epstein were doing.
Yeah, no powerful clients at all.
That's the logical.
Ian makes a good point. When you want to talk to people about really how crazy things get, eventually you will get a story like Epstein where it's true. We know it's true. The evidence is out. And they even convicted Ghislaine. She's guilty. And now people are like, what about the rest of them? All the people who are flying on that plane and going there. And then you can be like, conspiracies do happen. And here's one. So I'll tell you this. I'm not a big fan of most conspiracies because a lot of people connect dots that shouldn't be connected. That's the problem. However, if there's ever something you truly believe and someone's a skeptic, you can just be like, I may be wrong, but Epstein.
Yeah.
And they'll go, that's a good point. Yeah. Like, maybe I should, you know, consider, I don't know everything.
The Klaus Schwab thing is kind of, I don't even know if there's, does he even land in a conspiracy world right now? He's blatantly said he wants to create a corporate government collusive
that's
a form of global governance. He's worth $0.95 million. Klaus Schwab's net worth is under $1 million. He's the head of the economic forum leading the global change in global economics, and he's supposedly worth less than $1 million, according to NCERTpoints.com.
Ian, there's a lot of money laundering, and the people who have a lot of money are not on the Forbes top money list.
Right. So
they hide it in assets, they hide it in stocks, they hide it in commodities. They're able to, of course, transfer their wealth in ways that, of course, are not seen. Jeffrey Epstein, for example here, he was working with major banking institutions, whether it was Brown Brothers and Harriman or Chase Bank, JP Morgan and Chase. They were able to, of course, break the laws, break regulations, didn't follow standard protocols, and gave him a special kind of treatment that no one else gets, that allowed him to launder his money, that allowed him to facilitate his international trafficking operation of small children. And these financial institutions were absolutely complicit. They're major banking institutions. And if they're doing that for Epstein, what do you think they're doing for a Klaus Schwab? You think they're not hiding his assets or his money? Powerful people always hide their money, and they, of course, keep it away from everyone else. And that's why there's a saying that only stupid people pay taxes.
I heard Vladimir Putin's worth $700 billion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I heard he has a lot of property all over the world, and a lot of international bank accounts that can't be tracked back to him, and a lot of other individuals around him that also have, are his kind of proxies or financial Sherpas, as some people call them. So, Putin's one of them, but you gotta understand, I mean, he's one person. This is the entire system that's being run this way, with so many people just hiding their money, avoiding taxes, not paying any of it, expecting you to give 30% of everything you earn, which is ridiculous.
Look at this article. No one knows Putin's exact net worth, but many speculate he's the wealthiest person on the planet. His $1 billion palace and $500 million yacht explain why.
Wow.
So I can't remember where I saw this in an article. Here we go. Bill Browder estimates Putin had accumulated $200 billion of ill-gotten gains. This is in 2018.
Oof.
With the global lockdowns and seeing all the billionaires skyrocket in their net worth, Putin's probably way, way up there. Wealthiest guy on the planet, huh?
Yeah, Epstein is really interesting, because I feel like he kind of puts this kind of corruption in the spotlight. And that is one of the reasons that I'm glad Luke Hammers is home. But I was going to say, to circle back what Tim was talking about earlier, when we talk about conspiracy, we do generally tend to think of the Bohemian Grove, crazy people sacrificing whatever on whatever altar. But it's somewhere between the mundane, just doing business, handshake with a smile at some boringly named convention, and Epstein. Yeah. Epstein is like, oh my gosh, there's something serious here.
Well, he plays into all of this, because when you're dealing with so much power, when you're dealing with so much money, you need dirt on other individuals in order to have them in your pocket to make sure that they don't break the game that you're playing against everyone else. So when you're doing horrible things, you have that blackmail saying, you're not going to fight this. You're going to go along with this because we're going to expose you and destroy your entire lives and careers. That's why Epstein is so important here. But also, Bohemian Grove, a mock child sacrifices, male prostitutes shipped in, according to the New York Post. So there's a lot of things that they have on a lot of these powerful individuals, and a lot of weird people go there. Conan O'Brien goes to the Bohemian Grove, and so do a lot of celebrities, so do a lot of people in Hollywood, so do, of course, a lot of very, very prominent people in our society.
Would you go if you got invited?
Probably not, to be honest with you.
I really feel like dirt like Epstein had on people is more valuable than any kind of money.
Oh, this
that
this,
kind of control. Mm-hmm.
This actually stokes one of my questions. You guys hear the Panama Papers?
Oh,
this was kind of revealed 5 years ago, April 3rd, 2016. 2,114 offshore entities, financial and attorney information was released. And these date back to the 70s. 214,000 offshore entities, financial. And these are people that are like, is this all tax-free? Are these all people that are ducking taxes, basically? Luke, do you know?
What were you saying exactly?
The Panama Papers, these 214,000
That seems like an intelligence agency kind of operation, because it directly hits a lot of international elites. instead of domestic politicians in the United States. I might stand corrected on that, but from this happened a couple years ago, but from my basic kind of refreshed memory, just going off the top of my head, I do believe that there were some kind of intelligence agencies tied to, of course, making this a political hack and release rather than a real financial one. But there's also a lot of journalists, I think, that were tied to this that were also killed and taken out.
The original reporter, right? The original reporter who released the story, I think, was killed.
I want to be accurate here, so we'd have to look up this story to get all the details
here. And it's a few years old, so I don't think we can do it just sitting here and trying to do it justice.
I remember reading that Putin's buddy, who's like this art collector, had a – they found a – account with him there, and looked like a bunch of money had been funneled to his friend. And was Putin involved? I don't know. Maybe. Wow.
Mysterious.
I mean, the thing is,
since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
When you've got stories like the Panama Papers and Epstein, people really need to sit back when they hear the word conspiracy and be like, all right, show me your evidence and I'll at least give it a Google search. Yeah. What always bothered me about journalists in New York, especially when I worked there, is that they'd hear a story and I'd be like, they would hear a conspiracy theory and just laugh at it. And I'd be like, did you even bother Google searching it? Because some of these things, like the Gulf of Tonkin, is the perfect example. We didn't learn about that being a conspiracy or I think it's most likely until what, like the 2010s? Do you know when we
think,
when the official report came
90s
out?
To be honest, 90s? I think even earlier than that.
No, because I remember for those that aren't familiar, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was what got us involved in Vietnam, and it was like we got attacked and we had to enter. And then I remember even when I was younger, they were like, no, we got attacked. And it wasn't until like the 2000s, they were like, oh, actually, we staged that.
That's when it became really prominent, in the mid 2000s, when like with the internet videos, back when, YouTube was kind of a wild west.
Looks like 1981 is when they started to consider the ambush unfounded.
Really?
Apparent ambush. Huh, yeah. I go deeper on this. Captain Herrick, journalist Robert Shear examined the logs to determine that the first torpedo, the ambush, was in fact.
It was 2003. Robert McNamara admitted the attack on the USS Maddox happened on the 2nd, but the August 4th Gulf of Tonkin attack, for which Washington authorized retaliation, never happened. So that's what you got to understand. Like, the U.S. lied to enter a war.
I wonder when they're going to come clean about Kennedy, if they ever.
Never. If ever at all.
That one's a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, the Gulf, like, here's what I can say.
Oh, I got an idea.
When we have Wikipedia telling us that the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 2003 was revealed. Isn't that crazy? Well, then I can definitively be like, okay, well, what do you want me to say to that?
Right.
The Kennedy stuff is kind of like...
No one's come out yet.
Right. There's like a deathbed confession or something.
It looks like that Oswald was involved with some people that were doing some nefarious stuff. And my guess is that he let them borrow his gun, because the way they pinned it on Oswald was they found his gun in the building. And then they were like, hey, then they went and Oswald was in the building where he worked. And they were like, you're the guy, let's go. Then 2 days later,
it's like,
he's dead.
Look. Yeah. Have you ever, you see how O.J. Simpson wrote that book, If I Did It?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was basically like, I guess people said it was a confession or whatever. Yeah. And then the family of one of the victims took the if and made it really small. And so it says, I did it. You ever seen that movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Have you seen it, Luke?
Is that the journalist?
No. Mm-mm. It's so Mark Wahlberg is one of the world's best snipers. And then he gets these government guys are like, we need your help because someone's going to try to assassinate this politician. And he's like, I'm off the grid. I don't want to be involved. And they're like, just come with us. You'll get paid really well. And so he goes, they have him in this building and they're like, okay, where do you think the sniper, the bad guy might be? And he's like, it's got to be over there. Then all of a sudden the politician gets hit, and then some bumbling dumb cop walks in the room and they're like, all right, shoots Mark Wahlberg, who falls out the window. And the point was they were trying to frame Mark Wahlberg with the assassination attempt. Mm. And so the movie is...
trying to Lee Harvey Oswald him.
Yeah, that's right, what some people sure, sure, like, sure. You guys, definitely. I'm a patsy. If you hear him tell everyone he's a patsy, it sounds so honest. He's like,
Didn't Oswald say he didn't do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was telling the reporters, I'm a patsy, you guys. Yep. They're doing this to me. And then Jack Ruby, who I think the FBI had dirt on Jack Ruby, so they had him go shoot Oswald.
Yep.
And Ruby was like,
And they silenced him and got rid of that story.
And then they made Ruby look like a hero.
And the CIA still keeps documents around that.
So I'll say,
I'm so glad that
I think it's important to note whatever really went down.
Yeah, it's Oliver Stone.
Like I don't trust official narratives on a lot of this stuff, but whatever really went down is probably very different from what we think, because we're getting tidbits and we're looking through a keyhole trying to understand this stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll just say this, as for every official government story, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. The best you can do is like, okay, that's the general, that's the official narrative and understanding, but you got to realize this, whether for nefarious purposes or for, you know, genuinely good reasons, secrets get kept. You know, if the U.S. went out and said, here's like a list of all of the technology we have, we'd be conquered in 2 seconds. We can't give away our tactical secrets and our, you know.
Oliver Stone actually said that Lyndon Johnson, after Kennedy died, was like, thought maybe it was a Russian or a Cuban assassination attempt, so didn't want to make a global ordeal out of it and create World War III. So that was why they kind of hushed up why Lyndon Johnson may have hushed it up. Not that he was involved.
That's one theory, but his film about it, JFK by Oliver Stone, absolutely incredible film, definitely worth a watch, and it's very thought-provoking.
It's a huge red pill just watching. I revisited it about a month or so ago, and man, oh man, that movie has aged beautifully. In fact, Oliver Stone just did a new documentary called Revisiting JFK. It just dropped on Showtime, where he revisits the whole thing.
So. Let's do this. Let's talk about how they control your mind. I got here a clip from Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Joe posted, there's two videos playing side by side, top and bottom. On the top is CNN's version, broadcast version of Joe Rogan's announcement that he was being treated for COVID. On the bottom is Joe's actual video. For those that can't see, this is insane. CNN altered the colors to make Joe Rogan look grayish green.
Sick.
It's crazy. I'm going to play a little bit. Okay, I guess you can't hear it. Oh, here we go.
In Z-Pack, Prednisone.
Sun's well, you get the point. Size.
It's hard to describe this to people who are listening, other than they altered the colors of Joe Rogan's skin to make him look like he's dying.
Yeah,
they make
him look like a Frankenstein green potato. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like literally. Rotting green potato.
Joe just posted the clip and he put yellow journalism fake news. Here's what you guys need to understand about this. Someone at CNN, and probably more than one person, probably someone with some authority, said, we are going to edit this footage, make Joe look very sick. They're not going to gain any extra views by making Joe look sick. No, people aren't going to be like, hey, everybody, watch this video of Joe Rogan. No. What they're doing is the people who watch CNN will just see a very sickly looking Joe Rogan. All they're really doing, it's not about ratings. This is CNN, in my opinion, deliberately trying to manipulate the narrative, to mind control, to brainwash, to propagandize.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the same time they were making the arguments that Joe Rogan was taking horse medicine and, of course, was dealing with COVID in a way which they clearly presented him not dealing with in a good way. Meanwhile, in the video, he's like, hey, you know, I just got COVID a couple days ago. I'm feeling better than ever. I took this and this and this and this. I threw the kitchen sink at it. So their narrative was very important to upkeep. One of the ways that they kept this narrative is by faking this video, by lying to the American people to portray it as if he wasn't doing well, which is absolutely ridiculous.
You need to go to Joe Rogan's Instagram. If you can't see this because you're listening on the podcast, you need to see this because your jaw will hit the floor. They make him look like he's got like lupus or liver cancer.
Super like pale white light and dark shadow.
This is why CNN is the enemy of humanity. I mean, this is it. And this was their reaction to it, along with other corporate media representatives that were mad that he got better. He was able to improve his health, and so was Dana White, so was Aaron Rodgers, and so were a lot of people, including congressmen and women, that take the same treatment as he does. The treatment that they're trying to, of course, say doesn't exist, doesn't work, and it's based on horses. That's ridiculous and criminal.
Regardless of that, If you go to your doctor and your doctor says they have a recommendation or prescription, why is CNN telling people not to do that?
Yeah, why?
It's
sponsored by Pfizer.
Exactly.
Is that why?
I've seen people who have had liver failure. And what, so lupus makes you turn yellow, right?
No. So lupus is not the one that makes you turn
yellow.
Jaundice. It's jaundice. And yeah, that is caused by liver failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they make them look like, what's the skin cancer? Like what's the cancer that makes you turn green? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Gangrene?
I do know.
There's a cancer that affects an organ that makes your skin start pigmenting green.
And it's like
it looks like he is dying.
Mm-hmm.
CNN made this. They want people to see this and be like, wow.
Yeah, this is getting out ahead on the story. They're like, oh, we got to get ahead on this one. Let's make
it
look bad.
They did it to Trump. They made him orange. Remember that photo where they made his face super bright orange and it was just...
Like his hair was blowing back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull that one up. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, this actually looks to me like they're trying to make it look like he has too much silver in his system. Because silver actually makes people turn blue. But I was going to say, I did see a tweet earlier today from a lady who said, oh my gosh, look at Joe Rogan. He looks so gray and sick. I can't believe that he was actually saying that he's healthy. And I'm like, it worked on at least one person.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they totally altered this picture of Trump.
I researched that blue silver skin guy. It turned out he was rubbing silver on his face.
Yeah, so
colloidal
there's
silver,
a whole
colloidal
family.
Silver,
yeah,
that he was making at his house, so it wasn't being done properly, apparently.
No, so there was a family somewhere in the deep south that was taking too much colloidal silver. And it starts to show in your skin because your body can't excrete it because it's metal.
Did you see the guy who's fully blue? He looks like a Smurf.
I haven't seen him, but I did see a picture of like the whole family. So there's like a whole bunch of them who are obviously doing something.
You got to
really
look up the blue skin silver guy. It's pure blue. It's like dark, dark, dark. And he had been rubbing it on himself,
blueberry,
which is why.
Yep, that'll do it.
But he didn't tell people that at first. So he caused a panic about,
freaking out.
Small doses of colloidal silver, which have antimicrobial properties.
Yeah, maybe just a little. Yeah.
That's why they made silverware, is because it would be really good for your immune system to put it in your mouth.
Huh. Interesting. I don't know about all that.
That's my
guess. So I do have the image.
Where is
it? Of Trump. And even Snopes is like, this Twitter account, White House Photos, is not connected to, what do they say? Twitter is not connected with or controlled by the White House itself. Its actions do not represent or reflect White House interests or policies.
Oh.
And they had this like, look, Trump does have a spray tan. It's true.
Sure, yeah.
But you'd see him on TV on CNN and it's just like they saturate his face to make it look bright orange. And then when you see him, you're like, when you see him in real life, you're like, oh yeah, he does have a spray tan, but it's not that crazy. It's in the movie Don't Look Up, they show the right as being the people chanting Don't Look Up. The right wing politicians are like, don't look up. For those that aren't familiar, it's about a comet that's going to hit the earth and kill everybody. And so the Republicans and the right wing are like, ain't no comet. I'm not going to look up. Cause if you look up, you see it, right? And I'm like, yo, that's Brian Stelter, not the right. Yeah. The right is going, debate me! Why won't AOC debate me? That's what the right is doing. The right is demanding you come and discuss these ideas. It's CNN that's saying, don't look at the news anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just when you think it can't get any more absurd, we have this. And this is an old story. Joe Rogan, of course, just posted this on his Instagram just a couple of moments ago, but this happened a long time ago.
Yep.
So we have to understand that this is what the corporate media does. They lie. They're professional liars. I think there's a lot of sociopaths within them that obviously do the bidding of the special interests. And whether it was the banker bailouts, whether it was the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, we have to understand, especially if you're a YouTube moderator, you should really consider the harm, the real life consequences and harm that the corporate media has caused so many innocent, countless numbers of individuals that had their life ruined and destroyed and ended because of the corporate media lies. And then to destroy something that potentially could help people, destroy this alternative that members of Congress are being treated with, that right there is some next level criminality that needs to be addressed right away. Because when you have someone trying to knowingly lie in a way that will hurt you, you have criminal actions being conducted on you by criminal institutions who will do and say anything for a buck.
I just want to add, they're desperate, man.
Yes.
Let this be the takeaway, because Joe Rogan has the biggest show in culture and politics. The biggest show. He gets more than 10 times, he gets like 12 or 13 times the traffic on one of his shows that they get on prime time. And they think they're going to get away with smearing him in this way. Joe puts out one Instagram post and everybody sees it.
Yes.
And it's just flushing. CNN is flushing themselves down the toilet by doing this.
Chris, mm-hmm. you worked in a lot of media institutions. Like, how would this go over if someone would come to you being like, hey, we're going to do this? Like, what would happen? How could this happen? You worked in a lot of newsrooms. I think your perspective is valid here.
Well, thankfully, I haven't been in any kind of corporate press institutions, you know, so I can only imagine how it would go over there. This would certainly not fly in any place that I've worked for many reasons. But I do – something I am thinking about right now is the kind of – could you imagine being the person at CNN that is making that call? I mean, can you imagine like the sort of godlike thrill that you have with – even if you're not shaping the narrative, because obviously they're failing. They're flushing themselves down the toilet, like you said. But at least they perceive themselves to have this godlike power of manipulating and sculpting exactly what they think their viewers are going to live and experience. I mean, that has to give them some sort of is there some sort of a sick thrill that
it's
gets them excited, right?
Sick thrill, yeah.
Yeah, but it's intoxicating, happen. Right? It has to be.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a drug. As when I worked at Mines for like 5 years, I was doing this kind of thing, deciding what was going to get seen, and it was like I had to fight the addictive force of it because it's like such a powerful. You're like, I'm going to decide what a million people see now. I'm going to decide what, and one cheap employee gets to do that in a moment, and then like every employee gets to take a turn and decide, and the power is so. Unnecessary.
Remember how they kept using that same footage of Italy during the COVID pandemic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They kept taking the same clip from Italian hospital and it was being aired all over the U.S. Just absolutely crazy. Where would we be without the internet if we couldn't share this news rapidly?
Probably
and just be
in,
like that
in Afghanistan still, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Iraq, probably Syria and Libya.
And no joke, maybe even literally, like some of us would be Iran. There because we wouldn't be able to counter that narrative. People might have signed up believing the lies.
So there is a quote that says, insults are the last resort of insecure people with a crumbling position trying to appear confident. And I do believe that is the case. So that makes me wonder what exactly it means when some gigantic media conglomerate like CNN is turning people different colors. How badly have you lost when you literally have to fine-tune the color of someone's recording to make them look sick and bad and uncomfortable like Joe Trump?
Joe needs to like take that money he's got and hire more of him.
Yes.
Like hire many more Joe Rogans and make more podcasts. And I don't know how he does it, but.
And legally go after CNN.
Yes.
I mean, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Yeah. I mean, they're besmirching you. They're lying about you. They're slandering you. They're saying you're on horse medicine knowingly when they know they're not. You had one of their co-hosts on. And you confronted him and he admitted you were right and then he went back on CNN and said, oh no, he was wrong. Are you kidding me? Like the slap in the face. Sorry, I'm hitting microphones here. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get wild here. Get ready.
You're going to get rugged. Don't do it.
but the fact that they can't get away with this if people hold them accountable. You could hold them accountable in a court of law. I think it's more than enough time to do it. But this is also why internet censorship is so important of an issue, because when we see people censored time and time again, it's not CNN that gets hit for doing these incredulous, horrible actions. It's not the real life harm that they cause that they get held responsible for. No, it's a small independent media organization talking to their friends. It's medical doctors talking about their findings. It's people expressing their opinions that are getting hit and destroyed and having their livelihoods taken away by big tech censorship, as of course they're promoting CNN. They're ranking them in the algorithm even higher, so everyone sees them on the front page. It's sick and disgusting. And I'm also learning right now that Matt Walsh was just suspended on Twitter.
Whoa, really?
Over tweets relating to gender. So Mike Cernovich is tweeting about this right now. So again, his voice gets taken out here. And again, I disagree with Matt on some issues. I agree with him on some issues. But you know, again, he's coming from a different perspective. Why is he being targeted? Why is CNN still the preferred platform for big tech social media that gets to spew their lies to the general public? That's crazy. Do we have the story yet?
I'm trying to pull it up. Twitter's annoying.
I was looking up the companies that Alphabet, Google's parent company, owns the other day, and they have a lot more companies than they did 3 years ago. They have like 12 now. They've got
they're doing artificial
intelligence. The Daily Wire wrote a story about this. Just a heads up if you're looking
for
the Daily Wire breaking Matt Walsh suspended from Twitter over tweet about a comment that we should even be careful because we're living in 1984. We can't even say special words.
We'll just focus on, we got the story from the Daily Wire, as Luke mentioned. Matt Walsh suspended from Twitter over transgender tweets. Here's what Twitter has censored. I don't know if we can actually show on YouTube what Twitter even censored.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that the type of crazy world we're living in?
Jeez.
But don't give, I'll put it this way. Don't give them the benefit of the doubt on anything.
No.
If they're going to censor it, assume it's correct. That's it. I have not yet read what Matt Walsh said. It's right.
Yeah.
If they censored it, don't care. I'm sick of these games they play. Twitter is very, all of these platforms are very obviously in the bag in one direction. I don't know, man. Look.
They're using legality as an excuse when ethically I don't think it's ethical.
Well, it's
I think
only going to get
legally
right?
evil.
We gotta understand, we're heading towards a very important political time. This is only going to ramp up. This is only going to get crazier. More and more people are gonna get hit. And they're slowly and surely implementing a society where you get in trouble for wrong things.
Dude. You can mute Matt Walsh if you don't want to listen to it. You don't
exactly.
need to ban his account.
Exactly.
Yep. If you don't want to watch someone, you don't have to. That's your choice.
His tweet refers to transgender, trans women as men. That's the gist of his tweet. That's what it was.
This is what you got into it with Jack Dorsey about.
Right.
You
the fact that the overwhelming majority of this country does not agree with the leftist view on gender critical ideology, yet Twitter is enforcing a fringe gender critical
ideology.
Was he
calling like a trans woman a man in his tweet, or was he just saying trans women are?
No, he said the individual who won Jeopardy, a 4-star admiral. Yeah. He said they were all men, and that's a bannable offense.
That's
now, I suppose
that's like stepping in the fire and being like, we can all step in fire. Watch.
I've tweeted a bunch of things people said I'm going to get banned for, and I just don't care. But I tweeted once, males are better at women's sports than females. And it got like thousands of retweets. And I'm like, what's wrong with that statement? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's ways to like, you can point this out. The rules make no sense is basically what I'm trying to get to. I don't even understand it anymore. And I'll say this too, as it pertains to YouTube and the COVID rules, I don't even know. I have no idea what because like they have all these rules about what you can and can't say about the vaccines and all that stuff. But COVID we've got so many different variants of COVID.
Yeah.
I'm like, does this rule pertain to Delta, Omicron, Lambda? Which one?
Yeah.
Which one does or doesn't? Because if they said initially, if you claimed vaccines weigh in efficacy, you'd get banned. But now it's like the whole narrative for the booster. So I'm like, is that rule still there? I don't know.
The whole point is not to know or understand the rules. The point is just to make sure that as soon as a new rule is in place, you follow it.
Yes.
Lockstep. No questions asked. Yeah. Compliance no matter what.
And the rules are...
No matter how insane it is. And it doesn't matter if you understand it. You don't have to understand it.
Yeah, they're kept vague on purpose.
Yep.
So then the new CEO can come in and reinterpret it and then ban all that type of people.
It's so that they can ban what they want whenever they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that old saying, like, you know it when you see it. You can't define it, but you know it when you see it.
Yes.
Obscenity. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want you to know exactly what the rules are, but they want you to know when you're offending the regime.
It is such a power play for them to be like, well, we're not really going to tell you exactly what you can or can't say. We're just going to pull the rug out from you under you if today we decide that this is the wrong thing to say.
Dude, it's so dirty. You can easily ban an account and never have to think of them again as an admin, but it's so easy to contact them and let them know why. It just takes an extra step, but it's so easy to not do it, like to be lazy and just to be like, they're just a words on a screen. They're not a real person. I don't have to think about it. I'll just destroy their livelihood.
How much you want to bet more people are going to sign up for Getter? You know, they got over 1 million.
Yeah.
The amount of people signing up for Getter hit like 1 million.
Yeah.
New York Post reported.
But there's a reason I also was critical of Getter and their kind of vague generalized term of services, because they're very similar terms of services to a lot of these big tech outlets that of course use and abuse them. And if you're leaving a lot of leeway and saying, just trust us, I'm sorry. People have been through enough already. We need more reassurances. We need more transparency. We need more accountability, and we need a process where people actually understand what's going on. What are the rules? And they keep them vague in order to, of course, have that draconian power over you, because you never know what you could say. CNN gets to say whatever they want. They get to eat human brains. They get to show conflict. They get to show gore. They get to exploit it. They get to show people dying every single day. Independent media gets to play by a completely different set of rules that's not even told to them, and they get hit and punished all the time, which is ridiculous.
Reza Aslan ate human brains.
Gosh.
He ate human brains on TV.
Looks like Marjorie Taylor Greene's back on Twitter. Did you guys see that?
What?
Oh,
as of
snap.
14 hours ago, 6 a.m.
No, that's not true.
This is from Yahoo News. I see her Rep MTG account So tweeting again.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yahoo says she's back?
Yeah.
Hey.
Rep MTG. It might be just one of her two accounts. This is maybe her.
No, she's got her official account has always been up, but her personal account
didn't
get
banned. Oh, I thought they were both banned. Okay, so now she's tweeting personally from her official account, I think. Just, I mean, what else?
I don't know how you define what's personal.
Yeah, I know exactly. But yeah. They're like, she's back and she's tweeting again.
Well, but she has that.
She was there all along.
Rep MTG. Yeah.
I was just checking Getter page. She's up like 20,000 followers from.
Yeah, I'm up like 150,000 followers. So the Getter thing's weird because they just copy your, they like cloned Twitter, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird.
So you have followers, but there's like no one using those accounts for the most part. I don't even know if there are actual accounts, but they just like copy your number. But when I jumped over to Getter, my number went up like 150,000 people. So you actually, there's a lot of engagement. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And now they gained another million users. They're just creating parallel cultures.
More and more and more. That's going to be so good. More people are going to spin up new social networks that can federate and just become part of this growing organism.
Good and bad, I guess. The issue is if we divide and completely disassociate from each other, then we just become like warring factions.
We got to unite.
There needs to be some overarching agreement in culture, and it used to be like, you know, the American Constitution.
Or even like an RSS search algorithm where you can at least see what people are posting on different websites. Constitution will be more of a computer code. Like, we're going to rewrite some sort of rules. It'll be a computer rule, I think.
Or just allow people to have personal responsibility and understand that they have discernment and treat them like adults. I'm a grown-ass man. I don't need big tech overlords telling me what I can and cannot listen to. That idea, it's so patronizing. It's such an establishment elitist belief that, hey, you're too stupid for your own good. We need to tell you what to believe in. That's crazy. The fact that we're here at this point where people are deciding what you can and cannot discern for yourself is wild. It's ridiculous, and it's disrespectful to human intelligence, and it's stopping human progress, because when you limit ideas, when you limit debate, when you limit conversations, you stop human beings from growing and being better. And I think this is why it's done deliberately. This is done to dumb us down, to enslave us, to put us in fear, to have us controlled, because every step of the way that we're seeing this implemented, it's creating a situation where you're afraid to even express ideas over losing your livelihood. And if we're doing this and we're the ones who are actually talking to the individuals out there, imagine what they're going through and their limited perspectives that are closely, slowly and surely closing in to a limited perspective that, of course, the global elites want you to have. That's exactly what's happening here.
When you say they're getting their perspective squished.
Humanity, by and large, on big tech social media, on the information highways, the ideas that they're allowed to express, the cars that are able to be on that highway are limited and regulated more and more and more, where you know, uniqueness is becoming rarer.
Yeah, the COVID one particularly for me is really interesting because it's the first time I've ever lived through what people have considered a pandemic. And I would love to talk about it, all the things like what's right, what's wrong, people saying the wrong thing, but in it like a place where I don't want people to believe it when they see it. Like, that's up to you. Don't believe this stuff at face value, any of it. But listen to it. Definitely listen to it. Mm-hmm. I need that. It makes me feel
alive. I want to listen to the kooky ideas. I want to listen to the crazy ideas. I want to listen to people's perspectives that are not mine. I want to listen to ideas that broaden my perspective and my mind. I want to have an open mind. I don't want to be force-fed ideas, spoon-fed things that I have to believe in to fit into society. That's not the way I want to live my life and my experience, controlled and regulated by some yuppie with flip-flops drinking his Starbucks, controlling what could go into my perception and reality. Are you kidding me? I want to slap that Starbucks thing out of his hand immediately, shake him, and be like, let humanity be free, release us from your conquest. Because when you truly do release people, when you truly allow them to be free and to make their own mistakes and to be responsible for themselves, only then do we have some actual human progression. And when governments have been limited, when governments step out of the way, that's truly when we had the best inventions, the best progress, and the best thing that has happened to humanity throughout recorded human history. And these people are standing in the way, not just of information, but from human progress and growth. These people are enemies of free humanity, and they will do anything in their way to subjugate you and to conquest your existence and your true potential. I'm sick of it. I'm not going along with it. and we're doing everything we can to fight it.
But this notion of open discourse cuts exactly against the far left's idea of pre-censorship. Because, you know, censorship is just like take down a tweet, this tweet has been removed kind of thing. But going back to Herbert Marcuse's, who was the architect of the far left in many regards, he advocated for pre-censorship. The people that have ideas that are opposed to left-wing ideology, they cannot express those ideas because those ideas can be poisonous. So that person cannot, they have to be pre-censored so that those ideas can exist and people can't even hear them because if they hear them, it could be dangerous to the movement. So, I mean, in that sense.
To their narratives, to their profit motives, to their entire story, to their entire existence. You could break all of that with the truth.
Then let me ask you, do you think Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor falsely claiming 100,000 children are in serious condition from COVID was her being dumb or evil?
That's
she,
a terrific
she didn't
question.
Just say that. Let me add some things to here too. She also claimed that COVID deaths are at an all-time high. They have been going down since September, according to the official data. Look it up yourself. She also said that Omicron is deadlier than Delta. Obviously, no scientific findings presenting that as well. So I don't know.
Dumb or evil?
Dumb.
A combination of both.
Well,
you put yourself in a position of power and you're dumb and you're ruling over people's existences, you should learn to shut the hell up, right? So if you're dumb and you know you're dumb and you're still dictating how people should live, you're dumb and evil. You're a combination of both.
I don't see dumb here. I see ignorant. And I think there's a distinction to be made there. I think that she could, cause like you read the actual quotes that she said and I'm just like, this sounds like an aunt of mine that just, you know, just overdoses on blue pills and just watches, you know, corporate press. I mean, she sounds like a woman that is genuinely uninformed and ignorant about what she's talking about. Otherwise, she wouldn't say that stuff. Because to malevolently say this, that doesn't really add up for
not
me.
Not as a Supreme Court justice. Yeah,
no.
you'd be strung up for doing that.
Yeah.
Trying to mislead the American public. It sounds like what Whoopi Goldberg was saying, too, that any new variety, any new variant of a virus is more powerful. Which is blatantly not true because you can have a variant of a virus that's less powerful than before.
She said deadlier.
I missed that quote.
More powerful. She said more powerful. And it was like, Whoopi, you're a passionate person that believes the things you say. So make sure you know what you're saying is right before you.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Sonia.
No,
you meant Whoopi. I apologize.
Maybe she's going off of the Dragon Ball Z principle where Goku was very powerful and Gohan was stronger than Goku, at least in the Cell Saga.
Likely.
That explains everything.
I understand your train of thought, Whoop.
How many people understood what I just said?
She was triple vaxxed. Whoopi was triple vaxxed and got COVID. So she's like, what is going on? But then she kind of slipped back into this brainwashing. Variants are always more powerful and the only way to stop it is that.
Well, she said, I did everything I was told to do. Why am I sick? And that's a lot of questions that a lot of people are having, especially in some of the most vaccinated places all around the world. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of serious questions to ask there because there's a lot of consequences that we can't even get into, but people will make up their own minds. Not a medical doctor, not here trying to give you any kind of medical advice, but there's a lot of questions that are not being answered by the medical professionals that should absolutely concern the average citizen.
Yeah. Let's bring it back to the Supreme Court. Yeah. They're listening to oral arguments on the vaccine mandate, and either these liberal justices have no idea what's going on, or they're deliberately misleading the American people.
I'm going to call ignorance, and that's why I brought up Whoopi, because she seemed very ignorant, like definitely not malicious what she was saying. She didn't know what she was saying.
This is the person deciding if we're going to have a vaccine mandate. This is the person controlling your life and existence in the next few coming weeks and months who's going to decide.
Years, bro.
Exactly.
So
this is the person that's going to decide if you get to live your life freely or if the government's going to come in a way and force a medication on you.
So do you think that it's evil just because they're making a decision with limited
information? Because she's in a position of power. And I think, you know, obviously with all the news reports coming out right now, I think she's going to understand that she was definitely wrong here.
These people are evil.
That's the conclusion here. But if it truly is just ignorance, just someone being a dumbass, I think they're going to realize sooner or later that, hey, you know, someone near her is going to say, you were wrong about everything.
Clarence Thomas asked, is the vaccine the only treatment for COVID?
Huh.
And that a lot of people were just like, that's a question. Wow.
That's a very important question.
Because when it comes to vaccine mandates, the argument is OSHA should have the ability to do this. And then a very simple question, not for or against, just a clarifying question, is there anything else we can do?
Oh, that's why I was chiming on Twitter.
And yeah, just a simple question. Is there anything else we can do? I'm not saying yes or no to the mandate. Clarence Thomas, that's a really, really powerful question. And this question actually leads you to another line of questioning. I can't remember who mentioned this, but they said, you know, what about all the other diseases?
Huh.
why is it just COVID? I can't remember who brought it up, but they were like, what about the flu?
Yes.
And they said, oh, but you know, the flu, no, there's no answer. So I tweeted, we should mandate everyone be forced to get every vaccination that's available in the United States. I believe the CDC lists 58. Why not? If one, why not all? Clearly something doesn't make sense when they're trying to mandate one and not all. Because mm-hmm. people do die from these other illnesses.
They have.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. So in the hospital, they would require people to get the flu vaccine, or you would have to wear a mask for the entire flu season. Some nurses would refuse to get the flu vaccine. Sometimes the flu vaccine was not very effective because it would go based off of Australia's virus and try to find a way to counter the American virus as well. Didn't always work very well. I'm guessing that we're going to end up seeing the same effect with COVID, but I'm curious if they're going to make it for everyone or if they're just going to
Well, Luke, what you were saying that there's like they're saying now that Omicron may be like the final variant or something.
Well, there's a lot of medical professionals, whether it's in many European countries, there's also a lot of medical professionals coming from South Africa right now saying that Omicron will be the final variant, the end of this pandemic. This is something that I was talking about the possibility of a few weeks ago, and there is some early preliminary data suggesting that because this virus is so transmissive and because it's so less lethal than the previous one for many of the category groups here, that it will run through the population in a span of 1 month to 3 months and therefore give everyone natural immunity and therefore end the pandemic from here. And there's a very small chance, it's extremely unlikely, that there's going to be a new variant that's going to be more lethal because of how this variant is already taken over all the other variants. That's some of the early data, early information. I was talking about it for a while now. Look what's happening right now in South Africa. It gives us a lot of reason to be hopeful.
Regarding your question from earlier too, Tim, about why don't we vaccinate for all the vaccines at once? There's this thing called compounding effects, compounding activities with any kind of medication. So you can test, you have five different medications. You test one of them on someone, you test the second one on someone, you test third, but you don't know what they're going to do when they're test put in at the same time. Well, so that's a completely unique test you need to do. And for every new drug that's added to the mix, that's another completely new test. And you got to see how that interacts with people.
Well, if BioShock taught us anything, it's that people will become splicers and they'll slowly go crazier and develop superpowers.
There's also this report.
Do you guys know BioShock? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a splicer.
I'm part of the way there.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a video game reference. Calm down, YouTube.
There's also some reported accounts saying that there was a conversation between Justice Kagan that asked what risk do the unvaccinated workers pose to others. And, you know, I haven't verified this myself, but according to some of the early statements we're seeing here, OSHA's own data shows that it's unclear to exactly what extent that question could be even answered, if this procedure even reduces transmission. This is not me saying it. This is some of the transcripts happening from the Supreme
Court. Look at this. Yahoo News. Justice Sotomayor claims not to understand the distinction between state and federal powers. This is insane.
Let's talk about recall powers for a minute.
Wow, dude.
I need the context of this.
Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor professed not to be able to understand the distinction between federal authority and state police powers during oral arguments in a consolidated case before the court on Friday morning.
Oh my God.
Critics, including plaintiffs, submit that the rule represents federal and bureaucratic overreach. Quote, I'm not sure I understand the distinction why the states would have the power to institute a mandate such as OSHA's, but the federal government wouldn't, stated the Associate Justice. If we have to give a lesson on the 9th and 10th Amendment to our own Supreme Court justices. Yo, when I say the system is collapsing, y'all can't tell me I'm wrong.
You can't have them in power for 40 years. What is going on?
Dude, it's idiocracy. It's idiocracy. It's idiocracy. It's like you've got a politician, the Secretary of Agriculture, and they're like, why would you put water on plants?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you're in charge of it, look at Pete Buttigieg. It is idiocracy. He's a small town mayor. They put him in charge of transportation, and then he goes missing for several weeks. It is. I'm sorry. Mike Judge's timeline of 500 years or whatever was wrong. It was like 10 years. 10 years, and we found ourselves here. Come on. Donald Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame. He was president. Mike, you're a prophet, but you got your timeline way too far out. It was way sooner. Here we are.
I heard he's doing another Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited about that.
Totally.
But Michael, Idiocracy is becoming more of a documentary by the day, especially with leaders like Kamala Harris, especially with just the absurdity that we're seeing on the corporate media. And I think there's a deliberate effort to dumb down the average human being. And
let's be real about something. Okay, you guys have all seen Idiocracy, I imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Camacho was not a bad dude.
No.
He recognized that Luke Wilson's character was the smartest guy. He brings him in, and by hiring the right guy, solved the problem by getting the Brondo off the crops.
They actually could have called the movie Meritocracy.
Well, they first put him in jail for being
too
smart.
No, Camacho didn't. Yeah. Camacho, the president, actually got him out and was like, let's do this. And so I got to say, he may have been a WWE Hall of Famer as the president. He may not have been the smartest guy, but he made some good moves that ultimately benefited his country. And Donald Trump may not have been the greatest guy. He may have been a WWE Hall of Famer. He may not have been the smartest guy, but he did some policies that were really helping out. Look at that. Idiocracy come true.
I'm afraid that there's forces that are attempting to shatter our government. And I don't know. Do you think term limits getting these people out of here? Supreme Court justices and congressmen is going to help?
No. This whole entire system is absolutely crooked. It's absolutely rotten to its core, and it only profits off of people's ignorance. And this is why I think there's a deliberate effort to dumb people down and to normalize this kind of idiocracy that we have been seeing instituted almost every step of the way with mainline establishment culture, mainline establishment politics, mainline establishment society. It all incentivizes you being a dumb cod of the machine, going along with, of course, the bull crap that it spews.
Was there a period in American history where you liked the American government, where you thought it was functioning?
You're asking me if I liked government, all right? that's a question that I think is very self-evident. I don't like any kind of, you know, government or authority or centralization or top-down control of people's free existences. And that to me is just, my perspective, my personality. Because if you look at the U.S. government, especially from its, onset, there's a lot to criticize there, especially with its imperialistic kind of endeavors, especially with its foreign policy. There's a lot of things that, of course, you could criticize, but there's also a lot of things that you could compliment with, especially the United States, at least representing the ideas of free speech, of being able to defend yourself. And even though it's not perfect, I think it's one of the freest, best places in the world right now, standing up against this global tyranny. And I think that's why there has been such a concerted effort trying to bring it down, destroy it from the inside, because it still represents this bastion of freedom that is standing in the way from total totalitarianism and technocratic overlords controlling every existence, every part of our existence that we have.
But don't you want to be in the
pod?
You know what's funny is that literally everything they're presenting to us is the Matrix. Like, in the pod, eating bugs. You'll be hooked into a pod, plugged into the metaverse. Yo, they're literally describing the Matrix.
Yeah.
They're like, join the Matrix. You'll like it.
The New York Post ran an article highlighting how some cows were given virtual reality so they could at least feel like they're outside. Oh. My tagline was like, this is going to be your future. You're the cow.
This is
what they're doing. This is literally what they're doing. They're creating a digital heroin, which they're calling the metaverse, that they're going to have you licked in through your Elon Musk microchip. And there's going to be no understanding of what is real and what is not when they control every aspect of your consciousness.
They call it play to earn.
You're
going to
be literally uploading your consciousness to Mark Zuckerberg's private playland. And when you're in that metaverse, the ability for them to subjugate you is absolutely astounding. And I think that's why they're going forward with this kind of larger metaverse plan, this larger virtual reality. And when they develop artificial intelligence, especially with the advancements that they had with quantum computing, game's over for humanity.
Are you guys going to plug into the metaverse?
100%. Yeah, I'm already in.
Yeah?
I'm on something called Decentraland. It's pretty addictive. It's crazy.
It's a virtual reality?
Yeah, it's basically like a giant chat room that you walk around in and can interact with like.
Are you using
kiosks?
Oculus?
No, I was just on the mouse and keyboard.
Because the Oculus is super cheap, and so we've got it. And that space pirate game is so much fun.
It's amazing.
It's how they get you though, man. Mm. Like you get this like laser sword and a shield, and you're like swatting robots, and then you can switch to the gun, and you're pew pew shooting lasers at the robots. It's a fun game, and they've also got in the Oculus this virtual chat world. Where I don't remember what it's called, but you can pick your avatar. You can be any kind of weird. You can be a carrot. You know, bring it up. Because I saw a guy walking around. He was a carrot. I'm like, this guy really wanted to be that. my guy was like a generic looking guy, I guess. I don't know. But you walk around. And I guess, I don't know if this is the way it's set up, but my understanding is that as you talk, when you walk closer to people, you get louder in their headset, mm-hmm. and when you walk away, is that how it works? Something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
crazy. Although I didn't,
weird.
I had the sound off when I was in Decentraland.
What mystical made-up creature are you in the metaverse?
Basically a hippie.
Yeah.
Also, they have cryptos that they tie to these websites. So Decentraland has one called Mana, and basically they're prepping for a future where you use a cryptocurrency as the in-game currency, and it's going to be you play to earn, and they're going to have 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds in there for 10 hours, 12 hours a day, like basically new age slave labor, and we're going to have to build laws to protect kids against.
Dude, Mana? Mark Zuckerberg is going to be your boss. Like, he's going to be your president. He's
overlord.
Yeah, overlord.
Supreme overlord of your consciousness.
Man. Check it out. Look where we already are. People are building businesses in the digital landscape. I knew a guy who, he sold some product. I don't remember what he sold. But he was completely dependent on the Google algorithm that when people searched for something in his area, Google would show him first. The algorithm changed one day, and it knocked him down several spots, and his business stopped. All of a sudden, he couldn't get any sales, and he was worried. People build businesses on YouTube. YouTube bans you because you don't have the right politics. You lose your money. You're excised from society. Imagine what the metaverse is going to be like. What's that? You've broken one of the rules because you said a naughty word. Mark Zuckerberg removes you completely from the metaverse, and now you can't make money at all.
Or you'll say...
Not even that. Your brain chip. Wrong think. He's committing a crime of thinking something against the establishment. Take him down. Take him out.
He's thinking about doing something unsavory. We're going to move his kiosk to a further location away from Central Land. And then you're like, oh, what have I done? And you're waiting for like 24 hours for your ticker to go down so you can get moved back to your regular spot.
No, you'll be banned.
But then you think another thing and you get banned for 7 days. You can't even function.
You'll be in the digital gulag.
They want you in there still. They don't want you to leave. So they're going to like punish you, but try and keep you in.
You're going to be in the digital ghetto for just thinking a wrong thought.
For feeling.
You know what they'll do? We talked about, I talked about this. We were doing brainstorming sessions on how to deal with like people who post awful trash on the internet. That's legal. But you know, cause obviously if someone's posting illegal imagery or illegal content threats and stuff, you ban them. But if someone's posting stuff that's like obscene, we were like, you create an underbelly. If they violate the rules so many times, they just get sent to an area where people can post whatever they want, right? Because like, we're not
like
going to ban
Australia.
You.
Yeah.
Like Australia. We're not going to ban
Britain's
you.
Australia.
We want
you
to be able
to
use the service and communicate with people, but you clearly, you know, want to post things that people don't want to see. Like, I think in the metaverse, if you break the rules enough, they'll just send you to another dimension.
A
prison server.
They'll change the dimension to a prison version of the world.
And you'll be in a server with a really low income. No one in there can buy your product. Like, they're all poor people who can barely afford your product. And you will just all of a sudden be poor in the metaverse.
You will be happy.
Chris.
You will be happy poor there.
What's your VR representation? What are you going to go as
nothing.
Kind of,
nothing. I'm so analog. I was born in rural Kentucky. You know,
but
I grew
you
up
have
in the 80s. I don't understand this. I don't like it.
Mark Zuckerberg,
I'm not plugging in.
Mark Zuckerberg comes here with a VR headset and a firearm saying, listen, you got to pick... an alternate reality and a different personality right now. Put on the headset. What are you? You could be a carrot. You could be a potato.
Okay,
you could be whatever you want.
Damn. Gun to my head. I'm going to go with my spirit animal, the beaver.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be a beaver.
What actually happens
is Mark Zuckerberg walks in and he's like, you guys have to put on these headsets. And if you don't, I've got a gun. And everyone put them on now. And then we're like, all right, Mark, calm down. We all put them on.
Hey, Mark.
And then Mark pulls out his laptop and he's like, you actually don't get to choose in the metaverse. I'm going to turn Luke into a giant rabbit and I'm going to make Ian the carrot. And then you guys are like, no, what's happening to us? And then Luke looks at his hands and he's like, I'm a rabbit now. And Mark is just in control. My character would probably just be like a wireframe guy. You know, like,
oh, that's cool.
Whenever...
But hey, the furries, they're going to be the first ones on this.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure...
You go
in there. It's like people who have identity issues are, like, going in there and they're doing this for these reasons.
I'll bet.
There could be a conspiracy even surrounding that.
When we get to the point where you're Neuralink chipped, and think about how crazy this could be. You get the Neuralink installed, and now Metaverse is actually you in a digital world where you can touch and feel and sense things, and they can inflict pain on you. They can be like, oh, you're being punished. Press a button and you go, ah, it hurts. Like, they can actually hit your brain. They can make pain friction, right? So it's a very low grade pain. If you start walking towards a boundary, it slowly starts hurting and you're like, oh, and you stop and back off. They can do screwed up stuff to you once they get inside your brain, man. Yep.
Linda, what's your character?
My character is going to be myself or Mark Zuckerberg. That's my plan. That's who I want to go with. Yeah.
You can't be me.
I'm me.
You're you. How do you know, Mark? How do you know you're you? Oh my gosh, philosophical questions. That's what I would do. I don't know. I really
one
do
day
not
there's a
go
virus and like everyone turns into Trump. And they're running around going like, oh no.
I'm orange. Help.
What am I?
Help
like
me.
All of the Trump supporters would be laughing and high-fiving each other, and all the left would be like, ah!
It'd be malfunctioning.
And then Mark would be like, today there was a problem where everyone turned into Trump, and we're really sorry, we're working to get it fixed, but just hang tight and be Trump for a few hours, and we'll get it sorted. You can't log out, you're in the pod. People are banging on the pod screen.
This is what it feels like. They can't.
I'm in. I like it. I like it now.
I believe that we really shouldn't have anyone in control of this thing, kind of like a network, like a phone network or roads. Like, no one owns the roads in the United States. It's just kind of a system that everyone uses that we're aware
of
where the roads go. There are some private roads.
There's international Spanish companies that literally are putting tolls on American roads.
But there should
be a politician selling the roads.
That's messed up. But there should be a freeway of metaverse, I think, that everyone can kind of use at will. Our taxes keep it up, keep it going, keep it transparent.
No.
Because the
absolutely not.
There's
Ian,
a lot of value
no.
to augmented reality. The speed that you can navigate through information is valuable. You know, adaptability is part of what keeps us alive.
They're going to have metaverse prison. Like, there's this movie I watched, I forgot what it's called, where they invent this nanotechnology that they put in your eye, and then it creates memories in your mind. And so what they do is they want to make it so that if someone's got like a 5-year prison term, they just sit you down, put an eyedropper in your eye, and then it implants 5 years of prison into your brain. And so you're like in your mind in prison, and there's no people, and it's like solitary, basically.
That was the Black Mirror episode.
Was it a Black Mirror episode?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I remember this lady is in this little tiny white box, and it feels like a million years she's being punished.
Maybe.
It's like a...
Was that Black Mirror?
Gotta watch it again.
How about we go to Super Chats if you haven't already? Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends. Become a member at TimCast.com to support our work and our efforts, keep our journalists employed, and keep this show running. Let's see what you guys got. We got, for some reason, YouTube always blocks out the name of the first person. But they say they wrote and recorded a song called The News, you will absolutely love, Tim. It's a 5-minute political rock opera inspired by your work. SoundCloud, what is it? I can't read what the name is, unfortunately. Sounds like American Idiot. Check Spin the UFO for a link at 8 p.m. All right, we will check that out.
Rock opera.
GF
awesome.
Says, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for the super chat.
Thank you.
Red Rum says, marry me, Luke.
Aww.
Oh, he was in the bathroom. He didn't.
No, Seth.
It's too bad. It's too bad.
He might have heard you, though.
Nat says, is it Linda or Lydia?
Ha ha. It is Linda when Luke is referring to me. It is Lydia when anyone else is referring to me.
Because your
how it works.
Name is actually Lydia, but Luke says Linda for some reason. All right. Das Crush says, Tim, longtime viewer. Love the show. Can you talk about what's going on in Kazakhstan? Saw street videos where there was a lot of shooting going on. Do you know what's going on there? Because I've only saw a few stories.
No, I don't.
Civil unrest. The government, you know, I was watching this clip, and it's like the military joining in with the protesters, and I don't think people understand, especially like activists, how difficult it is to deal with mass unrest. Let's say you're a president of a country or something, and you have 100,000 people across your country protesting, and it's getting violent. Now, if most people in the country of millions do not want a revolution, do you stand up against the revolutionaries? And if you do, because it could get lethal, what do you do? So this is what happens. In Kazakhstan, you know, the president apparently is like, we're going to stop these violent terrorists and we're going to use any force necessary. And Russia is now coming in and helping the government. But the people who are protesting are like, yo, this is a corrupt government. So what do you do when most people don't want the change? I don't know. I don't have the answers. If I saw Antifa, like if Antifa went out and were rioting like crazy, and then all of a sudden a bunch of foreign government said the U.S. government is illegitimate because there are protesters out there, we'd be like, yo, no way. These people are nuts. But there were massive Black Lives Matter protests. So imagine if people around the world were like, yeah, we're going to give those people power of your government.
Wow.
We'd be freaking out.
You have to assess the merits of the protests, which is really difficult to do. But, I mean, like Black Lives Matter, it would be very difficult to assess whether or not their demands were credible. But at the same time, you know, we are a protest nation. And we have been since, you know, we came to this country and established the United States of America. So... It's difficult. It's tricky to say.
Scott says, hey, Tim, recently had to leave a job protecting one of the tech billionaires for the vax. But after last night's show, I know what I must do. Protect Ian at all costs.
Yes.
I'd love to see what I can offer to the people and the great state of Freedomistan. Yeah, Freedomistan is going to be real interesting. We're hopefully going to have the new facility built in. It should be completely done in 6 months. It should be operational in 6 months. It won't be completely done for several months after that, because the first thing we're going to have is we have, it's a 75 by 100 foot building. It's going to be three stories, basically. And we're going to have on the second store, the second floor is going to be this studio. So for the most part, the building is going to be completely open, 36 feet high. It's crazy. And 100 feet back. And then 75 by 20, 25 is the green room and the studio. That's going to be operational, hopefully within 6 months. Then the rest of the facility, all the stuff outside, which is going to be like rock climbing wall, foam pit, editing bays, a kitchen, that stuff's got to be built over time.
Yeah. Yeah. The green screen room.
Yeah, we're going to set up a green screen corner. Dude. So like probably underneath the studio, it's going to be all green and well lit.
You guys want to make movies with us?
So that we can record full green screen everything and make fun stuff. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to be building that out. Plus, we still do have this facility. This is where a bunch of other new shows are going to be. So we'll still use this studio fairly often, though. Like, we're not abandoning it outright. And then people are still working and editing here, and we're still going to have the castle, but now we're going to have another location. We're going to be hiring like crazy, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun, man. And it's a great way to stay in shape.
Yeah.
All right, DC. Ian, I would like to volunteer tech expertise to the problem of App Store gatekeeping, especially if you know anyone who might be considering an alternative App Store solution on Android.
Yeah, it's a big, big thing I'm thinking. I want to make a decentralized App Store, and I'd love to get it preloaded on the Freedom phone's questionable because we haven't been able to rip them apart yet, but I like the concept of preloading something like that on a phone. And that stuff may already be out there. So if you can find the code, message me on Twitter and let me know that you're the one that, and I'll send you a link to our chat room. Maybe you can help us build that.
All right. Bad Adam says, I live in Frederick, Maryland, in the Frederick, Maryland area, and I really need to know where you got those 24 sliders. It sounded so good. Also, I'm really glad all of you there are okay. Your show and Luke's show give me hope for the future. Glad to hear it. It's a secret little location where we got these sliders, man. You got to understand, top secret, but I'm gonna let you guys in on it. It's called Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, top secret.
Nice. Local.
Went on Grubhub and Ruby Tuesdays popped up, and I was like, sliders, and we got sliders and wings. Pretty good. I mean, I gotta say, like, actually, it was a pretty good burger. You know, it wasn't like it didn't come off like a freezer burger. It seemed real.
Simple.
And nice. Thank you for the support. We were doing our best.
Yeah. Mike says, Luke, please talk about Harrison Bergeron and Brave New World. 1984 is now the distraction. Also, please make another Sneck shirt with a giant picture of Sneck. Women think he's cute. So, okay.
Yeah.
There's the big,
it up
a
to
big,
the top.
We'll do a big Sneck.
Sneck, yes. Adventures.
We can do a similar design, but we can move the words in different. So we can do like step on Sneck, then Sneck, and then and find out.
It looks more like a worm.
Yeah, that's he's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
Yeah, it's supposed to be angry but cute, so it seems harmless. You know what I mean?
But step on him,
that comes across. I like it.
We sell those shirts like crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even shout it out that often, but people are buying them like crazy. I guess we got a good one.
Great
if
shirt.
If we could figure out how to make shirts like that all the time, you know?
That'd be great.
No. Don't do it. I don't like the snake.
Luke's like, no. The snake's terrible.
The snake is taking money out of my future seven children's mouth.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So.
All right. Sarah says, there's a media report about it. Was the first article I Googled if swatting was legal in MD. It lists some personal details, so please be careful. Y'all love the show. There's a I know that like a bunch of places wrote about, but like local news wrote about the swatting. I guess they would.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you want to like Google it or someone wants to Google local
I saw
news.
RT do a story about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I have alerts set up, and so I see a bunch of stories wrote about it, but it was only like right-wing outlets that wrote about it. You know, I guess the left was talking about it, but they don't care all that much. Probably because they did it.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, look, if I had to make a bet, I would say it's probably some, like, Antifa type that was doing it. Actually, I take that back. I don't think it was probably an establishment Democrat type, like a Karen. Like a very pro, you know, a very pro Pelosi, very pro Kamala, angry, we're hosting Marjorie Taylor Greene, we've had Steve Bannon, and they're just like, and they call in or whatever. But it was a dude, so I'm assuming it was a dude. Or someone using a voice changer, man.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing anything?
Yeah.
I looked earlier. A bunch of right-wing websites. Yeah. Nothing new.
Yeah. Nothing.
Top Gundy says, I like Carl Benjamin's way of forcing businesses to fight against the OSHA mandates. Oppose the mandate. Comply with masks for a short time and become very well-knowledged with OSHA safety practice. I completely agree. I guarantee you, if you go into a restaurant, you will easily see OSHA violations because it's impossible, impossible. And so imagine this. Imagine you walk into a restaurant and they're like, excuse me, you have to wear a mask. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then you're like, oh, I couldn't help but notice that you're in violation of, you know, page 23, section 7 of OSHA's federal mandates. I'm going to have to report you unless you fix that right now. What are they going to do?
Nothing. It's a restaurant. They don't follow any rules. Trust me. Take it from me. I promise. Restaurants are the nastiest places in the world. I've worked in enough of them, and I can tell you firsthand.
They probably the rules are followed. Out.
Yeah, they might.
The issue is, if we're at a point where they're so terrified of inspectors coming in and getting fined, you can very easily be like, I can get, you're going to be fined for that, that, and that. Just fix it right now. You put pressure on them. You say, look, make them live up to their own rules.
Yes. Yeah.
It's one of the rules for radicals.
That's correct.
Make your opponent live up to their own rules. If these businesses want vax mandates and they want mask mandates, people, look, if you go to a restaurant in Chicago, I love this one. They're like, if you're in a city that has a vaccine mandate, when you walk in and they say, do you have your vax card? Like, I do, but can I first make sure all of you guys have your vax cards? Because they're not going to have them.
Right.
Because they're going to be like, oh, wait, what? And be like, well, I'm worried about you guys having COVID too.
Of course.
So have you guys been tested?
Yeah.
No. So you might have COVID? Put them up to it. Make them follow their own rules. You'll find it really funny when you walk into a restaurant and they're like, before you can come in, you need to prove a vaccination. Be like, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this because I'm so concerned about this illness. Now, can you have your staff all show me and prove to me that you're cooks? Can you have your chef come out right now and show me his card? You can't? Why not?
Yeah.
Why can't you do that?
The first move, just my personal advice, ask for the manager. There's a 99.7% chance that manager is totally incompetent and you will win this argument.
Huh. On having them produce their cards or whatever?
Oh, just on an argument. I mean, they're definitely not going to produce their cards, but just by engaging a manager in a restaurant, there is a huge chance that they are totally incompetent and they're probably going to seat you anyway.
They might actually produce their cards, to be fair. They might. I mean, look, because in order to be in the buildings, you need one, but how much you want to bet when they have like you're at a small diner and they're enforcing the vax mandate because they don't want to get in trouble. But what happens when like the diner had to be opened at 5 a.m. for 6 o'clock, the doors are open at 6, the chef, the cook has to come in at 5. There's no manager there. He walks in, unlocks the door, walks in the back, turns the oven on, starts getting things clean, didn't bring anything with him because there's no one to check him. It's very likely people are going to be lax. They're not going to be following all the rules. And you can be like, I want to make sure before I eat here that you guys are taking this seriously. And if they can't produce them, then what?
So I have just been sent a screenshot from the Washington County Sheriff's Office here where we are. And they are talking about our swatting incident from last night. They made a media release about it. It's relatively long. They go through the whole thing. They were like, the property owner did not give permission to enter the building, but due to the exigent nature of this call, they felt they had to go in and just do a sweep of the building. A check of the address was conducted. It was verified that no one was hurt or threatening suicide. Upon completion of the check of the address, deputies left the property. The Washington County Sheriff's Department takes swatting incidents seriously. This incident remains under investigation. So I'm very curious what happens.
Where can I
see?
There
it is. It's right up there. You saw it.
Where?
At the very top. Swatting incident.
Yes.
Yeah, over there to the right.
This? Oh, look at that.
Oh, snap.
We're on TV. Okay, Washington County Sheriff's Office. Oh yeah, apparently there might be personal information in there. So, it's too late now. It's there because.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I put it up. I didn't realize.
Yep. Multiple deputies from the sheriff's office and surrounding agencies responded to the incident. While deputies were still en route, a member of the Maryland State Police arrived at the property and advised the call could be a swatting incident. Mm. A swatting incident is a false 911 call reporting a serious incident. Upon arrival, deputies were advised that a live stream podcast was currently being broadcast. The property owner did not give law enforcement permission to enter the address. That's right. Without a warrant. Given the exigent circumstances, a 911 call was made stating that two people had been shot and another was threatening suicide. Deputies advised they were going to check the address and confirm the safety of the occupants. A check of the address was conducted, and it was verified that no one was hurt or threatening suicide. Upon completion of the check of the address, deputies left the property. The Washington County Sheriff's Office takes swatting incidents seriously. The incident remains under investigation, and that's what Lydia basically just read.
Yeah.
So there you go. To all of the crazy people, the first thing that was really funny was the people claiming that we staged it, like there was no swatting, because you couldn't really see much other than a person walking past.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so then I took a screenshot from the security cameras and tweeted it out. I'm like, there you go.
Yeah.
Then you had people saying, well, I think he called them. I'm like, I'm on the show. Well, then his staff did. Y'all are nuts,
what
man.
What is wrong with you people?
That's ridiculous.
You've been planning this for years, Tim.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he's been planning this for months.
Yeah, no.
Good stuff.
That's crazy that there's a release on this. And it's, like, kind of stupid that they published our address.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't notice that before we put it up. My bad.
Eh, whatever.
Linda.
Like, I know, terrible.
Linda.
But they're like, think about what these cops are doing. They're like, someone is threatening these individuals. Here's their address. Like, are you crazy?
Are you joking?
And you want to cooperate with these people.
Vulnerable spot, which is on his lower back.
Exactly. These are Ian's friends.
Ian's friends. All right, man. Let's try and read some more super chats. Okay. Man of Culture says, speaking of the Gulf of Tonkin, an arms shipment from the U.S. headed to Saudi Arabia got intercepted in Yemeni waters by the Houthi rebels. The thing is, who ships arms unescorted into enemy territory?
Oh, like were they intended for it to be taken?
Still crazy how there's still a proxy war happening in Yemen. It's absolutely nuts. That's happening right now.
Dude, I've heard that the Yemen fiasco is the greatest humanitarian crisis ever.
Well,
created.
Luke says it all the time.
Not ever, but currently right now it's being, recognized by many international organizations as one of the worst, acts, against humanity, since of course a lot of people are being denied food, medication, and basic access to clean drinking water. So there's been a lot of children that have been hurt extensively by this. The United States is on the side of Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda in that specific region and a lot of the Wahhabists. So.
All right. Firepower says, today's my birthday. The best gift I got was the MTG episode and the fact that y'all are safe. I keep y'all in my prayers. Also, screw the NWO. Marjorie Taylor Greene's definitely coming back. She was amazing to have on the show. It was fantastic. And I was the member segment was just so much fun. It was getting really spicy and like it felt so authentic. I was like, we got to do more.
Really?
She had to go on Laura Ingraham. So then it was really cool because when she was doing her interview on Fox, she's sitting in the same chair and you can see like the background is clearly our studio.
I was hoping you would photobomb as you jump in. We're like,
we're professionals here.
Yes.
That would be so awful to do them.
And needy.
Top trending on Twitter.
I mean, yeah, you'd be trending and then they'd never come back and never want to talk to you
That'd
again.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, no,
maybe
but we had a blast and so many people I talked to were like, I thought she was nuts. And then we listened to her and it was like, she seems like a regular person who was angry with Congress and like the nothing getting done. And I keep hearing from people, they were like, when she mentioned forcing them to come down and actually vote on bills, everyone was like, that's the most positive response I get. People saying that was awesome.
I still think about it.
Yeah.
I know. She's like, I don't just want a handful of people to say yay or nay. Make them all come in. And they're like, okay, because you can.
Love it.
And then everyone's like, we have to do our jobs? What are you getting paid for? These people, I swear, $174,000 a year, and they don't even show up for their jobs to vote.
Must be nice.
Because they're getting on the phone, fundraise. They're doing lobby meetings. I can't stand Congress, man. That's why nobody likes these people. Yeah, whatever.
It's totally busted system.
Yeah.
Like, they're too easy to bribe.
Yeah.
All right. Taj says, Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State is pushing legislation that will make it a crime to lie about the integrity of the election, rooting out the dissenters. Well, to be honest, that probably won't pass First Amendment muster. So I'm not really worried. That the problem is with these decrees and these laws is that you have to deal with them until the courts can get rid of them. So you'll see despots be like, I'll just decree it and then sue me. And that's where it gets scary. All right, Jay just posted some salt. Awesome. Very
thank you,
nice.
Thank you.
What does that even mean?
Salty
is like I'm unhappy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, true.
It's like or like I have a burning inside me.
A little cranky. Hmm. Yeah.
Caused by this salt. I think that's what it means. Correct
that's
me if
my
I'm
understanding.
Wrong.
Brick Muppet says, Sotomayor, dumb or evil, Tim, embrace the healing power of the word and.
Oh,
there you go.
I love it.
There
a
you
great
go.
Super
all
chat.
Right, all right. All right. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Luke, yes, sir, for all. We saw this live for the members event. Imagine Luke going off in person in real life. Woo. Luke, you're doing work, and we thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was so much fun. At that, we had a small event at the bar.
I went wild on that. I was there's people I could talk to in real life, you know, not online. And I don't know, I just felt like a current and just went off.
It's very exciting.
Mary says, I've heard you reference the movie V for Vendetta. If I can challenge you now to read Mark 12:28-29 and see if you can get the real meaning of the movie. Oh, all right. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll check that out. That sounds fun. Alan says, you all need to read The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert Kennedy Jr. You will have your eyes open and feel like certain individuals that are mentioned in the book should be in jail. Hmm. Yeah, we've already we've covered some stories about children experimentation and stuff like that. And I'm already not too keen on the freedom of particular individuals.
Yeah. Orphaned children, monkeys, beagle puppies, you name it. Dr. Fauci has had his I don't even know where to go. Where.
Crafty says, hey, Tim, longtime fan. So, Tim, what's a guy got to do to get that sword on the wall behind you? I've always been curious where you got it from. Ah, top secret location. Yeah, local shopping mall.
Ah.
That's it.
Very secret.
Walked into the mall, and they have the Master Sword, Link's Master Sword. And I was like, that's cool Master Sword. I'll take it. And he was like, all right. And I think it was like, I don't know, $30 or something. And then I was like, oh, that little sword looks cool too. And I was like, what's that from? And he's like, I don't know. He's like a mall sword. And I'm like, I'll take it. That's it. It's a mall sword. And then we put it on the wall and it's cool, right? Ian's got the, whatever that thing is called. What is that called?
Mandala?
Something kind of sort of geometric, spirit geometry.
How many points does it have?
What is that? Like a 64 tetrahedron and a flat plane?
So cool.
Ian just knows that.
Nailed it. Mass and Harriman for all the...
Is that a 64 tetrahedron?
I've been thinking about some new backgrounds and wondering... I have these comics. I've got the Infinity Gauntlet series awesome. Sitting on the table in front of me. I might put these up behind me someday.
Those are valuable, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Comics aren't really valuable now with eBay. It's so easy to... used to be... Rarity used to be a thing. But yeah, they're like, I don't know, it's like $100 for these six comics. And I want to show the world. This is when comics were phenomenal.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Can you pull up the wide shot? Lydia?
Yeah, I can. Here.
We can show everybody who's watching live the whole table, and you can see how ridiculous.
Yes, I have, like, I have so much. Guitars. People have, like, nothing, but I have so much one. Stuff.
Yeah, so there's a gorilla in the middle of the table.
What's that?
Yep, there's
and,
the gorilla.
There's Ian. You can see his pyramid, his
Look
rose
at all his
quartz.
Stuff.
Yeah, all his rocks gosh. Everywhere.
It's Tim's pyramid, technically. I think he came home with this one.
We bought a bunch of rocks.
Rose quartz.
Really, really nice.
This
really
is a
cool
ruby.
Crystals.
This is an actual ruby mined out of the earth. The only one that I have that was mined. The other ones they're making in laboratories.
Ian has a rock collection.
Dude, look at this aquamarine. This is worth getting a close up on one day. Maybe I'll do it on the cast castle.
That is cool though. Yeah. We have a bunch of really cool rocks. We have something called TV stone, and it's like a fiber optic stone you can put and it magnifies. It's really, really crazy.
It's cool.
And then we've got one that's it's called like Norse sunstone or something, and it creates like a double vision. Anyway. Let's read some more.
And I'm the crazy hippie crystal.
That's true.
All right. Brian Knoll says, Luke, I hope there will be no more variants, but Glenn Beck was on his show today and he caught Omicron after having a cold. So unfortunately, I think they will keep mutating like rhinovirus.
Yeah.
Man.
We'll see. Some people say it's going to be an endemic, but time will tell. I hope, my guess is going to be correct.
Cubicle says, Ian, I heard you say you liked MTG the other night. Any plans to start streaming some paper magic?
Oh my god!
What is your play style or favorite color combos? And I gotta stop. That's a reference to Magic the Gathering, the card game, and not Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Not the lady.
Blue is my favorite color by far. I like control.
Blue and what? I think just blue.
Blue and green, blue and red, blue and white. I don't like blue and black. Blue's so nasty. Blue is controlling the game. It's almost like distorting the rules themselves. Tim and I made two blue decks and we were just going at it and it was like whoever got the mana crypt first won, we just start over.
I'm so confused.
Too much power creep.
Right? But let me explain.
So yeah, that was for you.
There's a card game called Magic the Gathering. I think it's the first card game ever made. It's a strategy game. And people often say MTG in reference to Marjorie Taylor Greene, which then immediately invokes Magic the Gathering, and Ian and I both play it. But yeah, it's a strategy game.
It's like the first collectible card game. I think.
Chess and poker combined is the easiest way to explain
it. It's great. And we had considered doing like a magic game, but it's time consuming, to be honest. Me and Tim used to sit down for a couple hours after the show or at night and play, but we're doing more stuff now.
Yeah, so a lot more work. All right, Mark S. says, we need a show with Luke, Malice, and Dave Smith. Would be epic to see that conversation.
I want that. Us debating statists. If there's some kind of statist that wants to come on and counter us, let's do this. And I would love that because otherwise we'll just like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't want that.
No, I think what would happen is
We would try to out anarchist each other.
All of a sudden, the camera would just be on any one of the three, and they would be like shaking and staring at each other. They would start vibrating and then be sucked into each other to form the ultimate anti-statist.
Yeah, that's the what's that force called when two things come so close together that they snap towards each other?
It's like in Dragon Ball Z when they had the earrings. More Dragon Ball Z references, the better. All right, let's see. Matt says, hot take, Shooter was better as a TV show with Ryan Felipe, Philip, is that how you say it, than the Mark Wahlberg movie. I did not see that, but perhaps. Perhaps. All right, let's see. We got a bunch of new super chats just jumped in. RDS says, I cannot believe the sheriff's department doxed your address. I would be pissed.
Yeah,
but I'll be honest. We got doxed a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Casimir effect. That's when two things get so close and then they just, because merge there's a vacuum one. Between them, the vacuum is a low pressure thing and they get snapped together. That's what happened to you and Dave.
That's what happened.
And Michael Malice. Triway, Casimir.
It'd be one ugly
right, here you
creature.
Go. Hey, Ian. Cody says, I've seen two orbs fly by Tim every time he talks about the incident.
Really?
Are you big
not
into
a coincidence,
orbs, Ian?
Yeah, I've been studying the military's investment in talking plasma, where they're actually focusing lasers into a point and creating like a floating piece of light. I don't think necessarily that when we see orbs that that's what that is, but for all I know, it could be an alien shining a laser at us. It could just be dust. Could be a bug, like a microorganism. I don't know. What do you think it is, Luke?
Get me started.
Do you think that there's like aliens or some sort of like divine?
Certainly. Oh yeah, definitely.
What do you think?
Even orbs?
You think? What do you think orbs would be?
Some sort of interdimensional energy. Yeah.
Yeah, I like these surface plasmon. It's like these things that are at the center of plasma clouds, and it seems like light bounces off of them and then causes the plasma clouds to move, almost like a sentient structure.
Well then. Moving on.
Let's talk about the news.
Bloodlust Honor says, Hi from Australia. I've been in lockdown for 2 years. How the hell am I supposed to get into a relationship if I can't take a girl out to a cafe? I'm so angry and have no hope for the future. I'm so lonely. Bro, brutal and sad to hear it. There's a video out of New Zealand of this woman. And she's like, she's dancing. She's like, I just got my blue bracelet, so now I can walk in the parking lot. No, for real. And they let her walk around the parking lot and back. At the quarantine zone, and she's like dancing and all excited, like, yes, I got my bracelet. And I'm just like, man.
Whoa.
Good dog.
Yeah. Essentially. You're absolutely right. For that person leaving the comment, you don't have to go to a coffee shop, go to a park, go on nature walks, try to go out and, explore areas as much as you can. But at the same time, you got to stand up for yourself and your personal liberty and your freedom as much as you can.
When you play the long game and put yourself on the internet, speaking your truth, like who you are for real, and you kind of put yourself out there, that people find you that are good for you. So that's the long game, but it does seem to work.
Or just, go to a protest and meet other people who are like-minded.
Yeah.
You. There you go. Who are fed up with everything that they're doing.
All right. We'll do one more right here. We got Ember in the night. He says, Tim, when are we going to sit down for a game of magic? Okay. So here's what we're hoping. We actually wanted to have members be able to come to the studio on like a Friday night where we would have like 10 people. You'd sign up if you were a member to the website. Then we'd be like, here's the waiting list. It's massive. And then we would do like a mix of waiting list and like auction. And we can't do that out here. Maryland isn't as fun. But at the new facility, I think we're going to be able to do that. And we can definitely do Games of Magic the Gathering. And I will just warn you guys, you will be completely annihilated.
We need to play like a draft format or something, because otherwise Tim's
Kiki-jiki
deck is insane.
It's not even that, but Ian and I have decks in this game.
We went
so
hard.
Here's what people need to understand. This game, Magic the Gathering, it's a strategy game. It's been around for, almost 30 years now.
Yeah, 1993
So there's an absurd amount of cards. There's technically a lot of rules now, but if you're familiar with this game, I'll just, you don't need to hear this, but for those that aren't, it's a competitive game where you go up against someone else. Imagine it's like playing chess, but you have your own custom chessboard. And Ian and I have our own custom decks that are so insanely powerful that we just stopped playing.
Literally, we got to the point what happened.
Where we started just rolling the die and whoever got the high number won.
Yep.
It was like I rolled good a game. 7, and then Ian's like, I rolled a 10. Good right. game, Ian. You win.
You want to cut?
Yeah,
just play
you
again.
Win.
All right, I'm going to shuffle.
But for those that are fans of the game, you'll have a blast.
Too many mana crypts. We all have mana crypts. We had like 9 mana crypts. We were like, let's invest. We were trying to figure out what to invest in the early days. And we were like, I think Magic cards is a good move.
It actually is. It's outperformed the S&P 500, these collectible cards. But for those that aren't familiar with any of these cards, don't worry about the names of them. Just know that when Ian names it, it's like, it's something powerful. It's like a really good thing.
Yeah, mana crypts.
But I'll just say, one of the decks that I have, every card that can be holographic foil is, except for the older cards, which are even more expensive because they're extremely rare. Yeah. And then I put them in golden sleeves.
Gauntlet of Might. You accidentally got a Gauntlet of Might.
Or accidentally, no.
Or you accidentally got the older one or something.
No, I bought it on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been playing Magic since I was a real little kid. So I'm such a big fan.
That'd be awesome.
So I wanted to just get a bunch of really good old cards, and I made a deck that's ridiculous.
It's so good.
And it's really good, too.
It's too good.
All right, everybody. For those that aren't familiar with it, thanks for sitting here and listening. You know, we were going to actually have a music performance tonight, but I guess the snow hit. We're in the middle of nowhere, so the roads aren't that good. And Michael was unfortunately unable to make it. I mean, hopefully we can get him out here at some point because, you know, it would be fantastic. And, you know, he's Michael Graves from the Misfits. He couldn't make it. So no performance, but I guess we'll wrap it up there. Go, sign up at the website, timcast.com, and help support our work. Check out the Green Room episode if you want to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff with Marjorie Taylor Greene when she showed up and when we're showing around the studio and everything like that. And it's a membership supports our journalists. Smash that like button. Subscribe to this channel. Follow us on Timcast IRL on Instagram and everywhere else. You can follow me at Timcast. Do you guys want to shout out your whatevers?
Yeah, ChrisCar17 on Twitter. I'll see you all there.
Yeah, if you want to support me, you can very easily on LukeUncensored.com. I just released a free video giving you a sneak peek at the value that I try to give you. I also have 3 master classes there about expatting, survival, journalism, whatever you're interested in. I try to provide you that value. LukeUncensored.com. Hope to see some of you guys there. Thanks for having me.
Great night, guys. Good week. Have a nice weekend and enjoy yourself and the calmness around you. Let it flow. Chris, good to see you, man.
Yeah, and thanks for coming, and congratulations.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, congratulations.
And the new boy.
A new car. New car in the family.
New car. Yeah,
it's keeping
it.
You up all night, I hear.
Yep.
He's laughing. Hey, and the book behind you, I don't think anyone's mentioned that yet. That's not your book, but that is The Inverted World. Is that the first or the second?
First.
That is the first volume.
And,
yes.
And Chris, who's the editor?
Oh, the editor of this book? By the estimable Shane Cashman, who did some incredible journalistic work on this. Yeah, we're very proud of
that's
it.
On
and I hear it's still a number one in certain categories.
InvertedWorldBook.com.
That's exciting. Well, you can follow me at IanCrossland.net, and I will see you guys next week.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I did want to say as well that somebody was asking me if they could get this shirt. They said they'd get this shirt if they could get in a color other than, quote, banana yellow. All right, fine.
There should be a bunch of colors.
About the yellow. Mm-hmm. There are tons of colors on the site. We have like how many colors?
There's like 7, aren't there?
Yeah, there's so many. So, yes, go to the site, check it out, get your own Step on Snake shirt. They're amazing, they're wonderful, they're comfortable. I'm hoping this one holds up well. You guys may follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids.
When we leave tonight, can we go to the wide shot?
Well, yes, sure, but let me just say, and you can go to the white chat right now. I'll just wrap up with this.
Sure.
I noticed this. Don't think I didn't notice this. That someone in the chat said I would ruin Tim in Magic the Gathering.
Uh-oh.
Is this false?
This is going to be fun.
That's a challenge.
Two-headed giants bring a partner.
I've got stupid decks, EDH decks, that are like turn one win in the most ridiculous and insane ways. Like, it's no joke that Ian and I have decks that are so insane that whoever goes first basically wins.
Yeah,
and we know it. It's like, you won.
You get the mana crypt, you go, you got the soul ring.
Oh, it's just
Kai
bonkers.
I'm going to make 9 mana. Yeah,
I love that Kai card deck.
I know.
Yeah, that's so good. Just mass producing mana. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to, you know, draw out your deck and like
it's
turn
too,
three.
It sucks is you got to go after Tim first or he'll win. And then he gets mad. And then he's like, why are you coming at me first?
Mad.
And you're like, well,
I get mad because when we're playing multiplayer, even when I'm losing and like, I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to play a weaker deck just to have fun. Ian goes, now's my chance to destroy him. And I'm like, come on.
I would have been doing that since we were 14 too.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We will see you all on Monday, or go to youtube.com/castcastle. Check out the vlog, and we'll see you there.
Bye, guys.